mom Donnie is practicing taqiyya.
1,000%. 1,000%.
He's presenting
the Muslims are laughing at you guys. Like, this is the funniest thing. Like, dude, give it 50 more years. Entire New York's gonna be Muslim. And then before you know it, there's gonna be Sharia courts. And then, like, y'all are, it's like shooting yourself in the foot.
And I'll also say that it's Muslim money. The PACs that have supported Zahran, or a particular PAC that has supported Zahran, is probably over 80% of Muslim American donors in this country.
81%, so 81 of the mosques that he surveilled were in some way or other preaching jihadism and hatred of non-Muslims. And this is in the United States.
The 2011 study, Sharia and Violence in American Mosques, published in the Middle East Quarterly, surveyed 100 U.S. mosques selected proportionally by state Muslim population between 2007 and 2010, and found that 81% contained texts advocating or justifying violence in the name of Sharia or jihad. 51% calling for overthrowing non-Islamic governments, with 84.5% of imams recommending these materials during services. Counter studies claim U.S. mosques largely deter extremism and reject violence, rendering the 81% figure a provocative but unreliable indicator of widespread jihadism. Whatever the case may be, these studies need to be immediately replicated in the name of U.S. national security, because America has a history with Islamic extremism going back to its founding. Thomas Jefferson's 1786 meeting with Tripoli's ambassador revealed the Quranic justification for enslaving non-Muslims and seizing their ships, prompting his rejection of tribute payments that had consumed nearly 20% of U.S. federal revenue since 1784. As president in 1801, Jefferson responded to Tripoli's declaration of war with naval blockades and the First Barbary War from 1801 to 1805, ending in a treaty that freed American captives and halted tribute. This conflict solidified the U.S. opinion that Islamic law was incompatible with Republican government, which later influenced subsequent restrictions. From 1790, the Naturalization Act excluded most Muslims, while late 19th century rulings like Ex parte Marias, 1894, denied naturalization on religious grounds. The McCarran-Walter Act of 1952 retained ideological bars against those advocating government overthrow or tied to totalitarian ideologies, effectively restricting certain Muslim activists. Enter the Legion of Treason. In 1990, Congress repealed Title II's ideological exclusions via Moynihan Amendment, passing the Senate and signed by President George H.W. Bush, easing short-term visa restrictions but maintaining permanent residency screening. Years later, during the Obama administration, America did a 180, authorizing engagement with nonviolent Islamists like the Muslim Brotherhood. After the Arab Spring, the U.S. cut funding for Egypt's democracy programs, but kept giving $1.5 billion a year in military aid. When Morsi was removed in 2013, the U.S. briefly paused the aid, then started it all back up again. After rebels led by former al-Qaeda commander Ahmed al-Sharaa, a.k.a. Abu Muhammad al-Jilani, toppled Assad in December of 2024, the U.S. quickly embraced the change. Biden lifted al-Sharaa's $10 million bounty. The U.S. is now engaging Syria's new leader at the U.N. and with top officials, betting on his promises of elections and stability to counter Iran and ISIS, despite his jihadist past. And despite the overall goal of Islam clearly on the jihadist warpath of global conquest.
We take the jizya from the non-Muslims, the combatants, the enemies of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life. Do you understand? We're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life.
It is time for us to stop calling Islam a religion. It is a civilization that governs every aspect of your life. And most importantly for us in the U.S., it is a civilization that is duty-bound according to the Quran to install.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's JonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
On the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I only got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to The American Journal. It feels good to be back in my chair, folks. I want to give my good friend, LK, a shout-out for filling in for me yesterday. She did the full 3 hours. That woman is incredible. And then she did her show afterwards, too. So she is a complete powerhouse, and it is an honor to have her as a friend and an ally in this fight. But we're excited that you're all tuning in today. A lot to discuss. It was really hard for me to be on the road traveling and not here in this chair because so much was happening, and I wanted to sound off on all of it. In case you didn't know where I was gone for a day. I was in Fort Lauderdale shooting a podcast with a couple of incredible people. Patrick Bet-David has a podcast for females. It's like a female view, but with more of a fair, balanced version of takes. And so that's where I was. I believe it's called Her Take, and that's where I was. So ultimately, I was gone for the day. It's good to be back. That episode will be airing soon. It's not yet been released, but I'll keep you posted, and we'll play some clips on here when it does kick off. But first, I wanted to get to a couple of things. As many of you guys may have woken up to the news, Dick Cheney is dead. He died at the age of 84. It's due to heart complications, something he has been battling for quite some time. So that is the case. The family made the announcement earlier this morning about his passing. And, you know what they say, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So we'll move on from there. Dick Cheney has passed away. Next topic, though, that we have up on the chopping block to discuss today. President Trump has nothing on his books today on his schedule, I should say. But we do have a White House press briefing later this afternoon that we'll be keeping our eye out for. And obviously, folks, it's Election Day. There's a couple of big elections happening all around the country, especially in New York City. We've got our eyes on that Mazzani versus Cuomo race. I know, you know, Sliwell is on it, so I don't know why. But we will dive into that with Roger Stone. He's jumping on the show today to discuss that because President Trump posting yesterday to Truth Social that don't even waste your time on the Republican candidate. We don't like Andrew Cuomo, but you've got to be all in on Cuomo. So we'll be discussing that, too, as well. So lots happening here. Also, it's important to note, we're going to be playing a clip for you later. It's official. We're removing all mercury from vaccines in the United States, but also we're pushing for it globally. RFK Jr. discussing that and how he's looking to influence those all across the world to remove mercury from their vaccines. So I'll be discussing that in a little bit. But there was also breaking news that happened a little bit earlier in the show, too. Tommy Robinson has been vindicated. We all knew he was going to be. This is great news, folks. Tommy Robinson was just acquitted on that terrorism charge. They were trying to throw terrorism charges on Tommy Robinson. They failed. We are very excited about that. As many of you guys know, I've been reporting on this. Elon Musk actually paid for Tommy Robinson's legal fees when he was in solitary confinement in prison. But even on this charge here, so he's been dishing up a lot of cash for Tommy, and it's been very important. This is a fight worth fighting. Tommy Robinson obviously thrilled by the news. The judge in that case acquitting Tommy, having him stand up in court and then announcing that he's been acquitted, which sent the corporate media over there in the UK into shock, into complete shock. And the judge even saying that Tommy Robinson was unlawfully stopped. Now, folks, that's big news, especially because it's the UK. Tommy Robinson sounded off a bit about the verdict, but most importantly, thanked Elon Musk for all of his support. Take a listen.
The court Just before, as I'm walking out of court, Elon Musk, I'm forever grateful. If you didn't step in and fund my legal fight for this, then I'd probably be in jail. So today, free speech won. In our fight back, the judge gave a damning verdict against them and against their unlawful and their targeted harassment. So thank you, Elon, for me, yeah, personally, thank you.
Well, that is great news, and we are so thrilled for Tommy Robinson. I know that was a stressor for him because obviously they were going after him. And as a journalist, you never give up your cell phone. They were trying their very best, like we've seen here in this country. When they use the Patriot Act to go after people, innocent Americans, they were trying their very best to use their laws to go after Tommy Robinson, to get a peek at his sources. But they failed. They failed, and that's the great news there. So congratulations for Tommy Robinson and for all of those who have been fighting the long battle in the UK for free speech, for free press. This is a major victory for them over there, and we are excited to see just that. It's at least one of the good stories we cover these days over in the UK. I want to turn things over to the elections that are going on all across the country right now, because there's a couple of big ones, obviously New Jersey, Virginia, and in New York City. New York City obviously going to be life-changing for many. We'll discuss that, like I said, with Roger Stone later on in the program. But when it comes to the election in Virginia, it's a big one. It is a massive one as well. And it's not looking good for Republicans. Mark Mitchell also going to join us later in the show from Rasmussen Reports to give us his perspective on a lot of that. But it's not looking good. It just isn't. We want to play clip two for you because Stephen Miller, and he's weighing in on today's elections. Take a listen.
You said tonight, Sean, is obviously all about turnout. Republican voters need to show up. They need to turn out. Regardless of what happens in New Jersey, that is a stunningly close race for a deep blue state. As far as New York is concerned, as you've talked about, as we've said, unfortunately, the anti-Mamdani vote is being split between Cuomo and Sliwa. And President Trump tonight put out a statement being clear that if you vote for Sliwa, who's polling at about a third of where Cuomo is, you're just throwing your vote away. The anti-Mamdani vote, which is really the pro-New York City vote, the pro-America vote, needs to unite behind the leading candidate, and that's Andrew Cuomo. Now, Virginia, of course, has become over time a very blue state for a lot of reasons. Part of it, of course, is years of open borders. Another big reason is the concentration of the Democrat workforce in the huge growing bureaucracy that is Washington, D.C. in North Virginia. But this race has been crystallized, and it relates to what you first asked me about, by Jay Jones, the Democrat candidate for attorney general, openly fantasizing about the murder of his political opponents and their children, fantasizing about their pain, their suffering, their heartache. This is a referendum on Jay Jones and the ideology of murder that has become too prevalent amongst the extreme left in this country.
Yeah, and he's got a point there. And the reality of it is we'll see how things pan out in Virginia, but they are a bunch of Trump-hating individuals there, we'll say. And it's just not looking good. It's not looking good. I was watching a lot of these candidates campaign, and they were literally just running as if they were running against President Trump. That's all that they have in this fight. So again, this is what's going on all across the country today. I don't think it's going to be a massive victory for Republicans. It's not looking too good for them. I even saw today on Truth Social, President Trump also posting on Truth that he thinks that if we don't get rid of the filibuster, and we'll talk about this later on the show, if we don't get rid of the filibuster, that Republicans are just going to lose across the board, whether it's the midterm elections and the presidency, the presidential elections. So he just posted that moments ago. Again, we'll dive into that throughout the show today, but he's advocating for us to just completely get rid and terminate the filibuster at this point. He says Democrats are going to do it soon. So we will see. We will discuss that in just a little bit. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in court. The Department of Justice urged a federal judge yesterday to reject James Comey's claim that his prosecution amounts to political retribution, arguing that the former FBI director has failed to show that he's being targeted as punishment for his criticisms of the Republican president. That's what he claimed in court. Now, they are not trying to allow that to happen, obviously. It is not a political hit job like he'll try to describe it to be. It is one that is warranted. And it's one that has countless pieces of evidence. Now, here's the interesting part in all of this. Comey is expected to work for, but this is what he thought he was going to do. He's expected to work for the president-elect Clinton. Yes. And we all know this because of the emails that are coming out. Emails have been pouring out. We've got, like, let's just take a look at Exhibit 5. This is the one I'm specifically talking about. In this email, talks about having to reconcile with President-elect Clinton. No, seriously, folks, this is what we have found in writing. I mean, this is what's being pushed forward. This guy is an absolute dirtbag. When we sit here, we talk about how he was politically motivated, how he is working against the American people. We mean that. We mean that. And so, again, while he sits there and claims to be victim in all of this, the reality is he is not the victim. He is not the victim in this. Let's turn to Exhibit 7, this also being really interesting. In response to planting a New York Times Election Eve hit piece against Trump, then FBI Director James Comey tells the FBI special government employee Daniel Richmond, well done, my friend. Well done. Huh. He's just innocent. He's just being persecuted. That's what he's claiming. But there's more evidence that he is full of you-know-what. Take a look at Exhibit 13. FBI Director Comey is a handwritten note on FBI Director letterhead is more evidence acknowledging that Comey was a part of the Russian collusion criminal conspiracy against Trump. He acknowledges the information that he had in all of this. In this little, it has a letterhead on it. In this little handwritten note. Now, the Justice Department defends that Trump's post, which urged, so Trump's post is, and this is, actually might get the president in trouble, folks, because the reality of it is I know President Trump has been posting a lot on social media about it, and they're using this against him. So this is article specifically is about that. The Justice Department defends Trump's post as it urges judge to reject Comey's efforts to dismiss the case. Again, he is trying to use those posts online. Prosecutors defended President Trump's September social media posts, demanding that action be taken in the Comey investigation. So again, the DOJ is just defending President Trump's right to free speech to utilize his platform to broadcast whatever message he wants. It doesn't mean necessarily that there's an issue here. Now, again, this is something that's very serious, and obviously we're waiting for it to develop further. But James Comey wants out. He wants these charges dropped. They're not getting dropped anytime soon. We know this because there's no reason to drop them. There's absolutely none. These are actually the bare minimum of charges. So he should be thankful that this is all he's been charged with thus far. We know he's committed real crimes. In our opinion, he has committed more treasonous crimes than what you've just seen outlined in those emails, in those letters. So one would think that James Comey would not be sitting here and pretending to be innocent, because he's not. In our opinion, this man is guilty of treason. In my opinion, I should say. I would assume the rest of us here all feel that same way. So we'll continue to watch this and follow it as it unravels. I wanted to turn, and we're going to do a deep dive in a little bit with Ken Silva on this front. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that ISIS-inspired terrorist attack. This is what the FBI is alleging. They're alleging that a group of individuals got together and they were conspiring to carry out a terrorist plot that was inspired by ISIS on Halloween. Now, I've sifted through a lot of the court documents, and you'll never guess what I found. It looks like potentially, we've got it here on my desk, it looks like potentially that they were actually looking to possibly carry out this terror attack at a couple of bars in the area. Now, if you're wondering what kind of bars they visited to figure out what kind of place they'd like to shoot up, many of the clubs and bars in the area intentionally attract members of the LGBTQ plus community. Huh. I thought Islam was welcoming of all of that. So again, we're still learning more about this, and we're going to bring in Ken to talk us through, because we only know two names. I know that there's one individual who's wrapped up in this who is a minor, and so that we will not get their criminal complaint. They will remain anonymous because apparently they are not over the age of 18, which is unfortunate. But also, it's important to go over, and we'll do it with Ken too, what they've been charged with. Now, a lot of this is, and as you see, these are the images of these individuals who have made these purchases. These are the individuals who are named and who are over the age of 18. But in this criminal complaint, they are talking about going to Syria, going to Turkey. It's all outlined here. And as far as I can tell, there's about 10 people listed in this. We don't get names, though. We just get numbers. And we don't know how many of those individuals, these co-conspirators, were people who are individuals who are FBI informants. We do know that there was somebody who was in these chats, who was in these on these calls, who was recording for the FBI. We know that. We don't know how many of the FBI informants were involved in this. And the other reason why I keep saying that is, again, this is Michigan. Keep in mind, the Governor Whitmer kidnapping hoax was heavily relied on by more individuals who worked on behalf of the FBI than actual individuals who wanted to kidnap Governor Whitmer. But so far, based on this complaint, it seems relatively fair, but there's still a lot of unknown factors. Ken will be joining me to discuss. Also, the charges here aren't as stiff as one would think. So we'll go over that too as well. I want to turn to breaking news that happened yesterday. Guess who's also going to be joining me over in the Pentagon as a member of the media press pool? Did you guess? Laura Loomer. According to the Washington Post, she has received credentials and she will be joining me to cover the Pentagon. As many of you guys know, I look forward to. Now, all of the liberal hacks of the corporate media who disguise themselves as journalists, they're not very happy about this. No, 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 they're not. In fact, several of them have reached out to me for comment, asked me to jump on phone calls with them, and I will not get on phone calls with them because they're leeches. So instead, I tell them to forward me their questions, and I'm respectful, and I just, you know, answer their questions respectfully. And I did for the New York Times. The Guardian reached out for comments, asked me to jump on a call with them. I refused. I just said, you know, just send me your questions here. I don't have time to jump on a call with you, which is true. I don't. They did not. But the New York Times did. And then he asked me follow-up questions. And it's very clear that he's a loser. And he is working on a hit piece, I guess, try to discredit us. I don't know. But again, it is good to see that we are coming up with a bunch of great journalists, people who could actually spread the message with what's going on in the Pentagon. Because when you go through their Twitter accounts, the people who were targeting me just last week, you notice that there's a consistent factor here, and it's the fact that they don't have a following. Now, it's not as superficial as one would think is what I'm arguing here. I'm not telling you that I think just because you don't have followers on X that you shouldn't be able to get let into the room. I'm simply saying that there is a massive effort to make it seem like these mainstream media outlets have some type of audience, some type of authority, but they don't. They don't. How do I know this? When I look at the journalists who are talking junk about me, they've got about 10,000, 15,000 followers, and they've been covering the Pentagon for years now. Now, what the heck would the Pentagon be doing allowing people who can't even attract an audience into the press pool? Does anyone know? Well, they don't know either. And they continue to target people like Laura Loomer. I'm sure that's going to leave them very unhinged. They're not going to be happy about that. And others who are going to be making their way in. But the reality is we have an audience. And you don't. And you don't. So it's good to see that Laura Loomer is going to be let into the room as well. We look forward to that. I look forward to being able to sit next to her in the press conferences because she is a fireball. And we look forward to having that as well. Maybe even getting her on the show. I have a plan in place when we have our first press conference in D.C., so I look forward to carrying that through. Folks, I also want to talk about something else that happened over the weekend. You know, I was driving, I think it was Friday, and President Trump posted on Truth Social about Nigeria, and I was completely shocked because for many years, we rarely hear politicians call out what's happening in Nigeria. What's happening in Nigeria is genocide. It's actual genocide. And because it's involving Jews, we rarely hear about it. And so that is the problem I've always had with this, because this has been going on for many, many years. Whenever Islamic terrorists are out there conducting terrorist attacks, genocide, nobody wants to talk about it. They, in fact, will skip over the word Islam. We see time and time again with the FBI director, Cash Patel. He refuses to say the word Islam. But thankfully, President Trump isn't that way. Now, President Trump did, back in his first term, talk about the genocide happening to Nigerians, Christian Nigerians, at the hands of Islamic terrorists. And it didn't really go anywhere, but now it looks like we have some more movement on this. We're going to take a listen to clip three, because clip three is claiming that after President Trump took to Truth Social and started calling out the Nigerian government for allowing Christians in their country to be slaughtered by Islamic terrorists, well, all of a sudden, according to Fox, there's been some movement by the Nigerian government, which denies that this is even happening in the first place. Take a listen to clip three.
Weekend, and he weighed in very strongly, talking about not just economic aid, but potential for American military involvement in Nigeria. Do you think that's necessary? Do you like hearing that from the president?
I like hearing it from the president that he's willing to do it. I don't think it's going to come to that. In fact, from my people on the ground, I'm already hearing that the Nigerian government is starting to snap in line and start to take action against some of these terrorist forces.
What have you heard? What are they doing?
They're now reporting that they've arrested terrorists, that there are arrests happening, that they are countering some of these groups, the Fulani militias, the Boko Harams, the Islamic State of the West African Province, and they're pushing back against them, and they're putting it out, and they're wanting people to know, hey, we're taking action. And so my prayer is that continues to happen, that we'll see that kind of response from the Nigerian government without us having to take any action.
Okay, sounds good. Again, it's the Nigerian government, so I don't know how much truth would be in that. But again, why have they been waiting on the sidelines for years? I mean, years these people have been going out there and slaughtering Christians and raping their women, and no one has stepped in on any of this. We know this. Well, I know this because years ago, I was watching a Lara Logan documentary on Fox Nation, and she went through it and she detailed it. She had Nigerians on, and she walked the audience through what's been going on in Nigeria, and she's been doing just that for years now. So it's good to hear that they're finally potentially getting involved in all of this, but what the heck took this long? I would just say that enough is enough. And President Trump doesn't even need boots on the ground. I mean, we're not talking about a well-sophisticated group of individuals. These are animals. These are animals. They don't have the technology to be able to take on our forces. And so you wouldn't even have to put boots on the ground to handle this issue. Again, we'll sit back and watch and see how this all unravels. I am, though, optimistic that something will happen relatively soon. Now, again, I want to play this clip because it's really important. Clip 4, President Trump specifically addressing what's been going on in Nigeria and why he's had enough. Take a listen.
Killing record numbers of Christians in Nigeria. And they have other countries very bad also. You know that. That part of the world very bad. They're killing the Christians and killing them in happen.
Again, good to hear from the President of the United States. I want to remind our audience, though, the mainstream media hasn't caught on to this genocide again because it involves Christians. They don't look at any of this. They actually turn their heads because they don't want to address the fact that Christians are being slaughtered in Nigeria. Take a look at the CNN headline, of course. CNN is claiming that President Trump just got on this issue because he saw a piece on Fox News. I mean, seriously, folks, this is what's going on over at CNN. Not surprising, CNN saying both Christians and Muslims have been victims of attacks by radical Islamists in the country. If they're talking about Sudan, that makes sense. Nigeria, though, doesn't make much in the way of sense. Again, President Trump was talking about this in his first term, but there was no actual action that followed up with all of this. Again, not surprising that they continue to deny this. But again, let's take a look at CNN in clip 5 and take a listen to what they're specifically saying, because they don't like the fact that President Trump is going after Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
All right. New this morning. President Trump is leaving open the possibility of U.S. military action in Nigeria as he accused the nation of not stemming violence against Christians there. The president has asked the Defense Department to prepare options that could include troops on the ground or airstrikes. The situation on the ground, however, is far from straightforward. Violence in Nigeria does affect Christians, but also Muslims, and is driven by religious, ethnic, and resource-based tensions in that country. Joining me now, Fareed Zakaria, host of Fareed Zakaria GPS on CNN. He also has a new book, Age of Revolutions, releases in paperback tomorrow. Make sure to get your copy.
Folks, I'll step in on this one. They're full of it. They're lying to you. There, in fact, is a big issue with this. They're trying to make it seem like Muslims are the victims in all of this. No. Their fellow Islamic terrorists have been leading these types of attacks for quite some time now, and there's very little pushback that's done by the Nigerian government. They've allowed it to carry on for far too long, and we're not going to sit here and allow them to pretend like this is just happening to both sides, because it's not. Folks, head on over right now to theoxjonesstore.com. We have our 25% off site-wide sale going on right now. We're kicking off Black Friday and Cyber Monday early, I might say, so head on over to the shop right now and snag some great deals.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice, On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, and it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on all around the world, but mainly it's election day. And so a lot is happening at the polls in very interesting areas. New Jersey, Virginia, and New York City are where we have our eyes on. We wanted to shift things over to New Jersey because we want to just point your attention to this. There was just recently a non-credible bomb threat that temporarily halted voting in northern New Jersey. It has since been dismissed. Apparently it came in via email, this threat that coming to us from the New Jersey Attorney General's office, stating that law enforcement responded to the threats that were received by email in multiple counties, and that while polling locations have already reopened at some, at other, voters will be directed to a nearby polling location to cast their ballot. Now, again, folks, it's interesting. I'll just highlight this point. These threats come from foreign countries looking to kind of stir up political tensions here in the United States, but most importantly, looking to stop people from going out to vote. So just note, if it's coming in via email, it's probably not legit, and it's probably being sent to by someone in just a foreign country. So there's a lot of countries, too. I could go to the list, but there's a lot of foreign countries looking to do just that. And the dark web is a hellhole, so don't take these things seriously when it comes to going out to vote. I can promise you it's probably not a legitimate threat if they're sending it through an email. So don't allow them to stop you from going out and voting. It's good that law enforcement takes it seriously, but for the rest of us, I would just pay attention, obviously, but also make sure you vote. Okay, I want to shift gears a little bit because over the weekend, I caused quite the firestorm when I launched my I Stand With Tucker Carlson movement. I think I was the very first person to go out and put up the post that simply had five words on it. I stand with Tucker Carlson. Well, those in the unhinged world, as you can see on your screen here, weren't very happy about this post. In fact, I was called, as you can see here, someone who stands with Sharia law, Maduro, Qatar, and Nazism. Thank you, Jamie. Obviously, if you've watched this show, you know I actually advocate for the show, for Sharia law. Yeah, I spent about 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, telling you about the dangers of Islam. So it only makes sense to sit here and say that I support Sharia law. No, you idiot. See, these are the types of things that only take place, and we thought on the left, but just amongst low IQ individuals. Jamie, not very bright. She thought she'd come swinging at me. Didn't really have a rebuttal when I simply just questioned why she'd even say such a thing. Because if you follow my work again, I am very, very obviously against the jihad takeover going on right now. But for some reason, you can't sit here and advocate for free speech. Tucker Carlson shouldn't have a platform. That's what they think. Although they'll tell you, oh, no, we're not advocating to deplatform him. We're just saying that we shouldn't be, what, platforming him? We shouldn't be giving him the platform to share his content wherever he wants to. Folks, he sat down with Nick Fuentes and did an interview. And if you didn't listen to the interview, and it sounds like so many people didn't, you probably think that it was a horrible interview that was just filled with white supremacy or whatever nonsense you want to talk about. But the reality is I listened to it. It was a good interview. Some people just can't handle a diverse group of opinions. You don't have to agree with what Nick Fuentes says, but to sit here and to think that you are superior and you're the one that gets to dictate free speech, well, that's absolute garbage. Folks, if Nick Fuentes was unable to have thoughts that are unable to come out and get on a show like you saw with Tucker Carlson and to have these discussions, and you truly believe that he shouldn't have these, debate him. Debate him. Because I rarely see that Nick Fuentes turns down any type of opportunity to speak to someone who disagrees with him. But the problem is people like Jamie just aren't intelligent enough to have that debate. Instead, they'll say, oh, I'm not going to give him a platform. She can't give him a platform. Nick Fuentes has over, what, 1 million followers on X? She's at barely 100,000. The level of unhinged is off the charts with that woman. You know, for many, many times now, I've been told, she's doing good work for kids. You notice also she changed her X name, Jamie USA, because when you're advocating aggressively for another country, you have to pretend like there's some level of patriotism behind it. And again, that's what she's doing. It used to be Gays Against Groomers, but it since has changed. And the reality is that Tucker Carlson gave her a platform, and she acknowledges that in her post. I specifically asked her if she's even called Tucker to have a personal conversation before you go after him on social media, because that's what us human beings do. We reach out to people over the phone, and we have a conversation before we attack them publicly. Now, again, she acknowledged that he has given her a platform several times to make her case of protecting children against the LGBT propaganda. And for some reason, once there was a cancel culture movement for Tucker, she jumped on board. Now, again, it's not just Jamie. That was the easy one to pull for since that was at the top of the tweet. There's others who are doing just that. But we've had enough of it. You know, we sat here, we watched as they used any type of excuse to go after other conservatives who they just simply didn't like what they had to say. And then we watched that that net, it got much wider of who we had to stop from speaking out on certain issues. Thankfully, I'm not alone, though. Alex Jones also standing with Tucker. Obviously, as many of you guys know, that's him and Rob Dew. The two of them are obviously good friends. They're both fighters in this battle. Whether you agree with what they say or not, we are all sitting here and advocating for what we believe will save this country. And so I don't care what Tucker Carlson says, because guess what? It doesn't mean that we should cancel him. It does not mean that. And what are you canceling him for? He owns his own platform, you morons. And what are you going to do? You're going to pull funding from him? Folks, this is what they do. They do this all the time. And we are constantly critical of those on the left when they go after those on the right and they try to cancel them. But the reality of it is we have people who claim to be Republicans, claim to be MAGA, going out there and trying to silence those who they disagree with. Of course I don't want Sharia law. That's not even... And anyone who sits there and tells you that we're advocating for Sharia law in this country isn't, first off, a moron, but also hasn't read the Constitution because it's already illegal. And Randy Fine, I can't take him seriously, folks. I can't even play the sound bites because when I see him physically speak at a podium and he is much wider than the podium, I can't take that man seriously. He's not a credible person. He's just not. He's just not. Again, I don't even pick sides in this battle when it comes to Israel, Gaza. I usually pretty much go down the middle on this front. It's actually interesting. The podcast I was on yesterday, I was sitting in the middle. I got very heated. But of course, folks, these people are trying their very best to divide us. Don't take the bait. You could have a difference in opinion without calling to completely annihilate someone who doesn't agree with you. I'm going to play clip 6 for you because Tucker issued an apology yesterday, a bit of an apology. And I don't know, it's worth just listening and understanding where he's coming from in all of this. Take a listen.
But I just want to say at the outset, because this has been weighing on me, I did say something that I really regret saying that I didn't fully mean. I said it because I was mad, which is always right. When I say things I don't really mean, when I get pissed, my wife's always telling me this, I was snippy and I didn't explain it. And I said something to the effect of, I despise Christian Zionists. And I'm just sorry that I said that because I don't. I'm mad at a certain kind of thinking. Some of the nicest people I know are Christian Zionists, actually. You know, if you're in a car crash, they would save you. If you need someone to watch your bank account, they wouldn't steal from you. They're like really good people and sweet people. I want to be very specific quickly about what I was talking about. In at least a couple of different occasions, the Israeli government bombed churches in Gaza and killed a bunch of Christians. And not an accident, of course. I mean, this is like a very high-tech military with precision. I mean, they, you know, gave pagers with bombs in them to Hezbollah. So like this is a military, a national defense institution that understands what it's doing. They didn't accidentally bomb two churches and kill these Christians, and they never apologized for it. And so I brought this up with a couple of Christian leaders, and including the Speaker of the House, and said, like, we're paying to bomb churches? Because we're paying for it. And the response I got from every single one was, the Bible commands us to support Israel. And I said, so Jesus is telling us that we need to get on board with murdering Christians? Is that what you're saying? And they basically were just like, shut up. And I found that extremely, as a Christian, extremely upsetting. And I've never kind of gotten over that. But I should have said that. That's what I was talking about specifically. We cannot support the murder of innocents. I don't care what the pretext is. That is not allowed in our religion. And if it is, then it's not my religion. That's not what the New Testament says at all. It's not even a close approximation of what it says. There's no justification for that in the New Testament, period. So I am distressed. I don't hate. I shouldn't have said despise, but I'm very distressed about that. And that's specifically what I was talking about. So I just want to apologize sincerely for not being clearer.
It was good to hear Tucker Carlson detail that for us. We all make slips, folks. Get over it. He's not a bad person. He's a good person. He is doing his very best because he believes that his stance will save this country. And, you know, we're all allowed to have disagreements, but I think that it's absolutely outrageous for people to be calling for him to be canceled because you just simply don't agree with what he had to say. Again, this is like an argument where people just become too emotional. They can't sit down and have a legitimate conversation on this front. And we hear it all the time, obviously. I see your messages. We take the calls and, you know, people really want to stir this pot up. But the reality of it is we're all just trying to do our very best to save this country. And I believe truly and wholly that is what Tucker Carlson is doing to save this country. Folks, let's talk a little bit about congestion pricing, because President Trump's been sounding off on Truth Social about a lot of things. And this has been the big one. And I think it's very fascinating because if you aren't familiar with New York politics, let me give you a little brief summary of what happened here. During Andrew Cuomo's time in Albany, running the government, he decided to push congestion pricing into legislation, into spending bills. And They waited, of course, for it to be activated after their very major elections. And so in New York right now, they're dealing with insane prices. And what congestion pricing means, if you're not familiar with it, is if you drive down certain streets in New York City, you're going to be paying a toll. And it's not a cheap toll. It's a very expensive toll. We used to have free bridges in New York City. There are no longer any free bridges. I used to, as someone who was entry level, trying her very best to work and to make a living, would have to take the longer routes to those free bridges to save $14 a day in tolls because it was very pricey. And New York Democrats took that away from us. But you know, President Trump has had enough of it, and he's calling it out. He called it out on Truth Social, saying Governor Kathy Hochul of New York State is killing the entire region with energy prices that are out of control and expected to triple because she can't get an upstate and separate Long Island pipeline built. So she's talking about the pipeline. Specifically, he also calls out congestion pricing. New York City is getting killed by her ridiculous congestion pricing, where people have to pay a fortune to come into Manhattan. That's on top of paying the bridges. So you just don't go there anymore. The place is a ghost town. He then adds, I'm going to ask our transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, to take a good look at terminating New York City congestion pricing. The entire state is going to hell, so the federal government will get involved. Again, folks, this is what's going on right now. President Trump trying his very best to sound off on these issues. And it's very important that he does just that. Congestion pricing is killing New Yorkers. And so many, and it's so frustrating, because again, it highlights the failures within our public school education system. Those who live in New York City are like, oh, I don't drive. I take the subway around. Oh, honey, what do you think happens when your trucks come in with all their food that you're buying? Food prices go up because they're not going to absorb the cost. They pass those costs on to you. So, in fact, you are paying those prices. You see, the ignorant voters in New York City, which I'm so devastated by, they are sadly going to destroy this city. And we're learning just that. We are seeing just that. Zohran Mamdani's election today, if he wins, and it looks like he might, will be devastating. It is very prime time for those jihadist communists who have decided to come together to take over the West. Capturing New York City is a massive victory for them. And even those who have been very far on the left side of all of this, they are very, very scared. The fact that Republicans are coming together to reject the Republican candidate is insane. And President Trump, I just got another update. Seconds ago, just posted again about Zohran Mamdani. He said he was going to stay out of this election. He's not staying out of this election. Any Jewish person that votes for Zohran Mamdani, a proven and self-professed Jew hater, is a stupid person. That coming from the President of the United States. Well said. I mean, it's so crazy. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, obviously, folks. You remember. You guys are great. Thanks for getting that up fast. Our control room is one of the best of the best. But the interesting angle to all of this, folks, we keep talking about it, but these people on the left don't even understand what they're actually voting for, what they're actually supporting. I mean, they're so ignorant, and you kind of feel bad for them a little bit. And I know we joke constantly, we're constantly putting up the chickens for KFC because that's how dumb these people are, but they are really, really stupid. I mean, really, really stupid. So President Trump doing his very best to go out there and to try to save New York. It might be too late. It might be too late. You know, what really ticks me off, and I get it, Republican candidate, you have a right to run for office if you want to. He won his primary. But when you look at the polling numbers, and if you truly love New York City, Curtis Lee will also just drop out, one would have hoped. But he didn't, because he thinks that he could stay in the race. He can't. The numbers aren't on his side. But again, he does have a right to be there. And I know some people are saying, oh, no, he shouldn't drop out. If you want to save New York City, sadly, you have to go with Andrew Cuomo. Yes, they're two communists. I don't like either of them. I've spent years going after Andrew Cuomo, but the reality of it is a jihadist who was plotted to take over New York City back in 2014, according to his own campaign director, made his way to New York City, then got citizenship in 2018, and here we are. Here we are. So again, I'm so tired of all of this. When we sit here and we talk about this, and you know, people obviously feel their ways about this. We have to save this country. And if it means that we have to back Andrew Cuomo, I don't like it. But guess what? Here we are. The New York Republican Party as a whole, I mean, when they were too busy figuring out the tech scandal, remember when they were the group chat with all the young Republicans in it, it was so outrageous. New York Republicans jumped on getting on that and disassociating themselves with the group. Well, now it's just laughable. I just don't know what to think of it anymore, folks. I don't know what to think of it anymore. I've had enough of this. It's just really depressing to sit on the outskirts of all of this and watch it come together. This was a plot. We've been trying to sound the alarm on this for quite some time now. And sadly, many didn't realize it. And so here we are trying to figure this out. We're trying to sift our way through it. And thankfully, President Trump weighing in on this election. But again, I don't think you could save it. I think that they hate President Trump more than they love this country, these people. And I think that they will do the exact opposite of what President Trump says. And that's why I was always an advocate for President Trump just not jumping in this one. So again, we'll keep following that. Roger Stone joining the show later today to discuss. I also wanted to jump on a couple of other things. Let's talk about this. Congressman Thomas Massie, you might have seen the story. Congressman Thomas Massie is making headlines these days because, number one, he's feuding with President Trump. He's not voting for MAGA-like policies, and it ticks off a lot. President Trump is looking to replace him, and he's decided to do just that. He took the Truth Social to make the announcement of Massie's replacement, who he's going to be backing. Ed Gallarin, take a look at this. He calls Thomas Massie a third-rate congressman, a weak, pathetic rhino. And again, time and time again, you know, Massie, I don't hate the guy, but I will say he stands in the way. And he's also a little bit of a coward because I've repeatedly tried to get him on both this show and my own podcast. And although his office is very nice and polite, he continues to reject my invitations. Why? I don't know. Probably doesn't want to get asked tough questions. I probably made at least 10 attempts. At least. But now President Trump is backing someone who he is highlighting as a good person, a brave combat veteran. Ed, obviously, he says, is someone who is very wise. He has courage. And he believes that he will help create American jobs. So again, President Trump weighing in on all things related to that, also saying that he only votes against the Republican Party, making life very easy for the radical left. We're referring to Massie now. This was controversial, and I'm not going to really, like, I don't know how to feel about this. My gut tells me it's wrong, but I've never been in this type of situation. But Thomas Massie got remarried. He made the announcement on X. As many of you guys know, he was married for over 3 decades to a woman who passed away about 14 months ago. And he has since remarried to this woman you see in your screen. Now, again, I mean, I think love is great and all of his kids are grown, so it's a different element there. But I don't know. My gut just tells me that it's wrong. And probably, I don't know his wife either, or his ex-wife, or his deceased wife, I should say. Sorry, it's my version of Monday. I don't know her. Maybe this is what she would have wanted, for him to go back into a marriage and be happy, but I don't know how I feel about this. 14 months is kind of rough. It's a rough turnaround. And the joke, of course, we didn't see it coming, but it was funny during our otherwise serious ceremony. The pastor apparently congratulated Caroline, his new wife, on getting Mr. No to finally say yes. I thought that was pretty funny.
For the second time.
It's such an awkward situation. I don't know how I'd feel about it. Like, I don't want to pass judgments because, you know, obviously I've never been in that situation, so I don't know how one handles it. when you've been with someone for 3 decades, you just probably love love. You probably love sharing your life with someone. But man, that's really rough. That's really, really rough. Okay, President Trump obviously is advocating, we talked about in the show, for nuking the filibuster. He wants it gone. He wants it gone. And it's not just him, too. Now we're hearing others talk about it. We'll also play the MTG soundbite from this show because it caused quite the stir online. But I want to get to clip 7 first because Congressman Byron Donalds says that the Senate GOP must get rid of the filibuster at this point because Democrats don't even want to come to the table. Take a listen.
And because Senate Democrats would rather still go down this socialist line of spending too much money, which is going to decrease purchasing power for the American people. This is why I agree with President Trump calling for an end to the filibuster, because the filibuster does not promote debate in the Senate. What it does is it promotes obstruction in the Senate. Let's not even talk about the economy. Talk about the visas right now, HB1 visas. These are a scam on American workers. American workers have been displaced because of these HB1 visas. It needs to end. But are you going to get reforms to all the visa programs in the United States without being able to get it through the United States Senate? No, you will not. You need to be able to work with people who want to do the right thing on behalf of the American people. The Democrats have proven time and again they only want their radical agenda, and if they don't get their way, they're going to follow Chuck Schumer and just shut the government down. This is not working for the American people. That's why they're frustrated. They want costs down. They want opportunity. They want freedom. And you're not getting that with arcane rules in the United States Senate that don't allow the Senate to work and represent the will of the American people.
All right, he's spot on there. And it caused quite the stir online. I want to play a little bit of the clip and then I'll jump in on this. But Marjorie Taylor Greene also was the original one, I should say, who was calling for the end of the filibuster. She did so on this show, and it really sent the mainstream media into a bit of a fury because they thought she was going after President Trump, but they're misrepresenting what she said in clip 8. Take a listen. Where do you stand on that issue?
I just posted about it this morning, and I'm so thankful that you brought this up. Here's the situation as I see it. We passed the CR, which is something I did not want to vote for. The CR is a Biden-Schumer budget. I am largely opposed to CRs. I am extremely vocal about it in my conference, and I want Republicans in the House and the Senate to do the job the American people gave us. We need to be passing our own appropriations. That is extremely important, and that is the bill that we need to send to the president's desk. So right now, this shutdown is a big political fight and drama, but it doesn't have to be happening. The Senate can use the nuclear option and override the 60-vote rule. They can pass the CR with a simple majority. And the reason why that is important to do is because just the clip that you just showed about WIC, these are single moms that, you know, people have hit hard times
over the past
4 years.
I want to step in on this because we're about to hit a hard break, but it's true. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is correct. Also, President Trump just tweeting out, terminate the filibuster just seconds ago. Again, I think he's watching this show because he seems to be lined up with all of our segments today. Don't go anywhere, folks. We've got more to unpack in just a few moments. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 25% off right now.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this methylene red to make it available for everyone at the alexjonesstore.com.
Everyone, if you're living in the beautiful state of New Jersey, not there, beautiful. If you're living in New Jersey, don't hate me for that one. If you're living in Virginia, happy election day for you guys folks over there. New York City, yikes, that's a mess. So we'll just leave it at that. But folks, the big day all around the country for these major elections. Obviously, people taking to the polls. I was watching Sovran Madani and his so-called wife cast their votes. And it's not looking good for New York, but we're keeping our eye on all things related to that. Roger Stone is going to be joining us in the second hour of the program, second half of the second hour. So we'll keep our eyes open for that. Also, Ken Silva joining the show today because I've got the actual criminal complaint now. I've been asking about this and we finally got it. We have the criminal complaint related to that so-called ISIS-inspired terror plot. Now, remember, we ended Friday's show talking about it. We didn't have all the information. Well, we now have the information. And it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. So again, I found, and I haven't heard anyone else talk about it, possibly the LGBT rainbow community was actually the target in all of this. On page 40 of the criminal complaint, it specifically says that many of the clubs that these individuals visited and bars in the area intentionally attracted members of the LGBTQ plus community. Interesting how everyone left that out. Very, very interesting. Folks, so a lot else things happening and going on all around the world today. We're excited that you're joining us, of course. Matthew Marsden is going to be joining the show today because, you know, we're going through, and this was Mel Kay who actually flagged it for me, the Auto Pen report that came out last week, and Steven Spielberg's name popped up. If you're wondering why, that's because Steven Spielberg, according to the doc, was working and coaching Joe Biden for his State of the Union speech. Remember when he was like screaming like that demonic demon on stage? Well, apparently that was thanks to Steven Spielberg. But it's not just that. Also, George Clooney's coming clean and saying that the party itself really effed up by making Kamala Harris their front runner. He actually says that he wanted a primary. That's interesting, given the fact that George Clooney was a top donor. So again, we'll discuss that. Mark Mitchell also joining the show. There's not much in the way of polls out right now. I think Real Clear has something out right now, but in regards to Election Day, we don't really have much in the way of data. But we do have data in regards to how young people feel about Israel. We do have data about how folks at home feel about marriage, and it's actually a really important poll that he just dropped on that front. And there's a couple other polls that he has been releasing and talking about, which I actually think is fascinating. Like one poll where 52% of voters believe that Joe Biden's aides should be criminally prosecuted for unauthorized actions during his administration. So he'll be joining us to discuss just that. Again, President Trump advocating to get rid of the filibuster is very controversial. It's very controversial. Also, remember when just right after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, there was that so-called explosive planted under a Fox News van. It was a local news affiliate, but it was planted in the van. Well, according to Ken Silva, and he's going to be on the show to break it down, there's more details. It's not what it seems like. It's not what it seems like. And again, this was kind of the head scratcher in all of this. We played that clip for, I think it was 2 weeks ago, of the court interactions where the judge is like, what's going on here? They haven't been charged with anything on a federal level. But remember, they came out and they tarnished these individuals' names, these two people. So again, it's quite strange, but Ken Silva joining us in just a few moments to break that down for us, which I always look forward to. And also, House Democrats want to visit the prison where Ghislaine Maxwell is staying. They want to talk to her. I don't think they did that for, what, the last 4 years when Joe Biden was occupying the White House, but now they're interested. Now they're interested. There's a lot to dive into today, so don't go anywhere. Folks, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. We're kicking off those Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales very, very early. You can snag 25% off site-wide right now. Methylene Red was just added, of course, to the shop just a few days ago. So head on over and grab yourself some of that. Also, we have some great hoodies, and they make great stocking stuffers. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and enjoy the 25% off site-wide sale going on right now.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm excited that you're all joining us today. Happy Election Day. If you live in New Jersey or Virginia or New York City, we're praying for you, especially if you live in New York City. It is a communist jihad takeover. And sadly, things aren't looking good. President Trump sounding off on Truth Social about that. And a couple of other things, too, but mainly that. Zohran Mamdani, although he said he was going to stay out of the race, is an absolute disaster. And so President Trump weighing in on that. But there's a couple other things that we got to get to. Can't just all be about elections. We got to talk about what's going on all around the country. We concluded Friday's show with a tweet from the FBI Director Kash Patel that had no details, no press conference, no press release, no nothing. It was in regards to an alleged ISIS-inspired terror plot. Now, the individuals who have been arrested and charged are, we're just hearing two names. That's all we know. We know that there's a minor also involved in this. That's why their name's not being listed. We don't know what the charges they're facing are because they always hide and protect minors, even if they're accused of egregious crimes. But here we have the criminal complaint, finally. It's a little over 75 pages, I believe, and it was dropped yesterday, and I was digging through this. Rushing, trying to figure out what the heck the FBI had here. And so far, there's about 10 people who are listed throughout this. And we don't know their names on a lot of these people, so we don't know if they're FBI informants in certain angles. We do know that there was an individual who was involved in the FBI, and they are listed in here. But again, you don't see the names. They always take those names out. They don't expose their sources, but I'm just going through it all, and it's co-conspirator 1, 2, 3, 4. Ultimately, what we have here, folks, is that it looks like so far that these individuals were heading to places like Turkey, Syria. They wanted to join ISIS. They wanted to, according to the federal government, kind of smooth over their alliance. And it looks like, according to page 40, they were looking for areas potentially of what they were going to target. Now, they were looking to do this either on Halloween or on Halloween weekend, and they were looking to hit up some bars. Now, according to the criminal complaints, many of the clubs and bars in this area intentionally attract members of the LGBTQ community. Huh. You mean Muhammad was going to go after there and try to potentially kill members of the rainbow community? Well, folks, if you are in New York City, it's probably something you'd want to push because there are so many members of that community who are aligning with Zohran Mamdani, and they don't realize that they don't like you. Joining me to discuss is Ken Silva. He's one of the incredible people over at Headline USA. Just named you as my bank, Ken. But it's incredible to have you on the show today. We're excited to have you here. You have done the digging through all of this. I know I've been trying to follow it through. I thought it was very interesting, although they don't say clearly whether or not these LGBTQ bars were the targets. they do specifically say that they were visiting these areas. And so that has me asking a lot of questions. But you've gone through this whole document. And again, it's north of like 70 something pages. What are you learning here?
Yeah, I've gone through the complaint several times and it's very convoluted, hard to see exactly what's going on. But let's just, you know, take a step back and put it in the broader context that Director Kash Patel announced this Friday morning. He had been taking heat all week about stories of him using the FBI's Gulfstream jet during the government shutdown to kind of gallivant around the country, go to, you know, country music concerts, visit his girlfriend. And a lot of people thought that he announced this case prematurely as a PR tactic to take the pressure off of him. Some people even have compared this case to sort of the Whitmer Fednapping plot. And I definitely wouldn't go that far. You know, like unlike a fantastical and elaborate plot to kidnap a sitting governor, it's much simpler and more plausible just for some deranged people to shoot up some nightclubs with an AR-15. And, you know, we've seen this happen in the past. And to steel man the FBI's evidence, we do have these two men, Muhammad Ali and Maqjed Mahmoud. They were associating with people who were planning to fight with ISIS overseas. They were buying rifles, ammunitions, dozens of magazines, body armor, and other equipment. And perhaps most suspiciously, according to the complaint, they were talking in code in chat rooms, constantly discussing, are we going to do the pumpkin? And the FBI says that doing the pumpkin was code for committing a mass shooting on Halloween. That said, the FBI has not yet presented evidence that it would anywhere near support Kash Patel's really extravagant complaints about stopping a mass shooting. And the reason I could say that so confidently is because these two men are not charged with conspiracy to commit murder or terrorism or a mass shooting or anything that serious. They are charged with, quote, receiving or transferring firearms or ammunition that would be used to commit a federal crime. And in this case, the federal crime is conspiring to provide material support or resources to ISIS. So nowhere in that complaint do you see specifically, you know, alleged conspiracy to commit a mass shooting. Other material support cases include if people send cryptocurrency overseas to ISIS, they get charged with similar crimes. This only carries 15 years in prison. So again, it does not support Kash Patel's complaint. And, you know, if you read through this, it, like I said, it's very convoluted. There are at least 10 people in this supposed plot. There's Muhammad Ali and Mahmoud Majud. There's five uncharged and unnamed co-conspirators. Two of them, co-conspirator one and three, are overseas. There's also a juvenile referred to as person one. There's an FBI informant, and there's an undercover agent. The best evidence that I read in the complaint that supports the theory that there could have actually been a mass shooting is conversations online between co-conspirators one, two, three, and then the undercover FBI agent and the informant who are recording these conversations. And in those chats, the co-conspirator one is saying that we're going to go overseas and fight for ISIS while Ali and Mahmoud stay in the U.S. and do something similar to Paris. And that's probably a reference to the 2015 ISIS mass shooting in Paris. But again, these conversations don't even include the two men who were charged. So it's total hearsay, and it seems kind of dubious to me. Some other just bizarre facts were that this unnamed juvenile was interviewed by the FBI in September 2024. He told them about being in Discord chats where he was being recruited as a potential mujahid or a holy warrior. Co-conspirator one was actually traveling back and forth between the U.S. and Turkey, where he would go to Syria. And when he came to the U.S. in August, he was interviewed by Customs and Border Protection. So I'm not saying there definitely wasn't anything going on and they weren't plotting a mass shooting, but we need to know a lot more facts. We need to know who these other co-conspirators were. Were they actually involved in the plot, or were they possibly cooperating with government? Because you got to remember, drawing it back to the Whitmer plot, one of the people, Steve Robeson, was initially enlisted as an unindicted co-conspirator, and he turned out to be one of the key FBI provocateurs in that plot. So we need a lot more information. And, you know, last thing I'll say is the broader geopolitical point, putting this case aside, is, of course, ISIS is sort of like a CIA creation. Remember in 2015 on the campaign trail in 2016, Trump would constantly say that Obama created ISIS. He's more, you know, he's putting in pretty simplistic terms, but he's pretty much right. He was referring to Operation Timber Sycamore, where the CIA would provide radical jihad fighters in Syria with weapons and ammunition to overthrow Assad. And so even setting aside this case, even if it's totally legitimate, this is sort of a mess that the FBI is now cleaning up because it was created about 10 years ago by the CIA.
Yeah, and Ken, I want to jump on a couple of things that you made, a couple of points. You detailed Kash Patel's when we saw it on our show, and I know it broke, the news broke, his tweet broke right before we went to air, but I was a little jarred because I saw the allegations he was facing regarding the jets being used. I want to just say, too, that whether you feel like it's acceptable that he uses that jet, whether he has the authority to use the jet for personal matters, the reality is he was very critical of the former FBI director, Christopher Wray, for using that private jet. Well, it's not really a jet, but it's what we're paying for, our taxpayer money. So it's not a private, what he's coughing up the cash. You and I are paying for him to use that. So I know that his media team, and a lot of them are good people, but that was their rebuttal, is that he's allowed to use it legally. Yeah, that's fine. But the reality of it is he was going after Christopher Wray, and he was even in one soundbite that Alex Jones actually played on this network. Was also talking about how he was going to use that to get the Epstein list. So again, now that we play these clips, it's kind of laughable given the fact that we've seen this massive turnaround, sadly, with the FBI director. So I wanted to mention that. And you also mentioned the FBI, their role in all of this. You know, when these two individuals were shooting at the range, and it's detailed in here, again, they legally, according to these documents, actually purchased their firearms. So, you know, I'm watching all of these rifles getting posted in this, and to me, it's just nothing of significance because they legally acquired these weapons. One of them, I believe it was Muhammad Ali, is the individual who according to them, had these firearms, but he legally got them. He was handed to him by the sheriff's office. The police also approved, I believe it was. So again, nothing to see there. But they're at the shooting range, and little do they know that there's two FBI agents who are also at the shooting range with them as well. I saw that in the report. I thought that was very, very interesting. These FBI agents just wearing plain clothes. They are there next to them. They obviously don't put their name in there. They don't put their faces in there. When it comes to trial, though, they might actually have to get on the stand because they have to they have the right to face their accuser, of course. So there's that also. I don't know how my Second Amendment friends feel about this, but the place where they were purchasing these firearms from, an employee of the location voluntarily provided the FBI with a copy of the sales receipts. It's a little cringe. I get it, right? We think that these are terrorists, but again, when does this end? This usually is just the launching pad. But I also wanted to talk about, it looks like, and can I get your take on this? I noticed this on the cover, and maybe you could help detail this for me a bit. It says that receiving and transferring and attempting to conspire to transfer firearms and ammunition, knowing that having reasonable cause to believe that the firearms and ammunition would be used to commit a federal crime of terrorism. So you're saying that even though in the offense description, the offensive description that we see here right now, that they have not charged these individuals with terrorism. Is that true?
That's correct. Well, it's buying these guns to commit a federal crime of terrorism. But if you read the complaint, it says, namely, attempting and conspiring to provide material support or resources to ISIS. So that is a terrorism charge. But what I'm saying is they weren't specifically charged with conspiracy to commit murder or a mass shooting, which, you know, could potentially send you to prison for decades. This is a charge that would carry a maximum of 15 years. They probably wouldn't get the maximum even if they're convicted. So I guess my point is that it does seem that they were involved with some sketchy people and with some pro-ISIS people, but it just doesn't match the sensationalistic headlines that Kash Patel generated on Friday.
Yeah, and that's a key point, too, in all of this. And I also thought it was really interesting, and maybe you have some more details on this, because I know you've been doing the deep digging into this. But one of the defendants, I'm trying to find the page. It's very extensive. One of the individuals left the country and then came back in, and then Customs and Border Patrol on one of the pages ultimately said that they actually went through its phone and they did see communications regarding a potential terror plot. And they even saw, I believe it was like armor, him wearing armor or something related to that. I'm trying to pull up the page right now, but I got lost in all of this. Can you give us a little bit of background on that, the interaction this individual had? Because, I mean, we're hearing that they traveled out of the country and they had plans to go to Turkey and Syria. Did they ever go to those locations? Again, I only see that they traveled out of the country. It doesn't specifically say if they ever made it to the region, I think.
Well, yeah, you're referring to co-conspirator one, who actually at one point he was living at that house that was raided on Friday, and he had been traveling back and forth and talking about going to Turkey and crossing the border into Syria to fight for ISIS. We don't have a whole lot of evidence to show exactly what was going on. And it seems to me, you know, why hasn't this guy been arrested? He's the one who's on supposedly these recorded conversations with the FBI informant talking about fighting for ISIS while these other two guys were supposed to be committed to mass shooting. Well, that's a crime. Going to fight for ISIS is, again, would fall under this material support charge. So why wasn't he arrested? Is he cooperating with the government? You know, that's speculation, but considering some of these other cases we've seen, it's perfectly reasonable to ask these questions. And you brought the overseas element is also troubling because now the FBI would be able to classify a lot of its evidence and not even present it in court. We saw that with the Ryan Ruth case. We saw that with other cases that have like these overseas connections. So unlike the Whitmer case, where none of the evidence was classified, we got to see all the discovery. We got to see the provocateuring by the FBI. They might be able to hide a lot of it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think of that element, and I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I found it on page 9, what I was just telling our audience about in regards to the Custom and Border Patrol agent going through their device or this one individual's device when he came back into the country and then saying that the phone revealed Google searches related to ISIS and the Islamic State. I don't know how serious you are for Googling what ISIS is on Google, but again, we're going to sit back and watch, Ken, because I think this is going to be an interesting case as it plays out. And I think you're spot on when you're talking about what the director allegedly did. And he has a habit of releasing things too soon. You know, I didn't want to bury him completely. I was very excited when he announced that the whistleblowers were coming back. But then when I reached out to their attorneys for comments, I was told that they were literally on the phone with the DOJ at the time, and there was no deal that was finalized, and the deal was finalized like a week later. And then we saw what happened with Charlie Kirk's assassination. Sadly, he flagged someone as a suspect when they in fact weren't. I hope he didn't destroy that guy's life. But again, this is something he has a habit of doing, and he knows better. He's an attorney. He's a former prosecutor. Like, this guy knows better. So again, I think he's just using this because number one, he wants the PR praise. Oh, Kash Patel, you're doing such a great job. And then also it's a deflection mechanism. So we'll continue to follow that, of course. I wanted to also talk about this story that you have up right now on headlineusa.com. You guys are talking about how the House Oversight Committee ranking member, Jamie Raskin, is seeking answers as to why convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell is receiving special treatment in prison right now. And they're potentially looking to go visit and speak with her, it looks like. What the heck's going on here?
Yeah, cue up the jokes about sending the Democrats to jail. In this case, it's probably not what a lot of people are hoping for. But this all stems from actually a bombshell article that the Wall Street Journal published about a month ago, kind of detailing the preferential treatment that Ghislaine Maxwell is receiving in the prison camp in Bryan, Texas, where she was transferred to from a more, I think, a low security prison from Florida after her interview with the DOJ, where she said Trump did nothing wrong, Bill Clinton did nothing wrong, and Jeffrey Epstein definitely wasn't an intelligence asset. She immediately gets moved to like what's referred to as Club Fed. And according to the Wall Street Journal, they're actually locking down other inmates while she gets to go exercise and shower at night. They even locked down everybody in August so she could have this meeting in the prison chapel with some guests who we don't even know who these people are. And perhaps most disturbingly, some of the inmates who've spoken up about this to the media, they immediately gets transferred to a high security prison in Houston, which is a clear case of retaliation just for raising concerns about Maxwell, a convicted child abuser. So, you know, Jamie Raskin, obviously the Democrats are being very cynical and jumping on this issue, but, you know, he wrote a strongly worded letter demanding answers about who these mystery visitors to Ghislaine are, you know, why these other inmates are getting sent to high security prison just because they're talking about Ghislaine and her preferential treatment. And he's raising some good questions, and hopefully he will get to send his staffers to this prison to possibly interview the guards, possibly interview the other inmates and get to the bottom of this. Although given the retaliation, if I were an inmate, I would not talk to Raskin's staffers because I would want to stay at Club Fed. I don't want to get transferred to, you know, a high security prison in Houston.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the Bureau of Prisons under new leadership is still retaliating against people. How shocking, how shocking. By the way, the Bureau of Prisons, folks, is ran by the DOJ. So there's that little fun note for you. I want to turn to something else, Ken. You have another update regarding the local Fox News van, the bomber. Now, we remember when we were told by the federal government that there was an explosive somehow planted under the van. Now, this happened after Charlie Kirk's assassination. We were quite confused, and it's been kind of a confusing story because there's been a lack of transparency from our federal government, and not just for us, but the people who are accused of these crimes as well. So you have an update. What is going on here?
Yeah, when you talked about Cash making premature announcements, this was another one, although it didn't come straight from Cash. It did. We still don't know why the two Pakistani nationals were initially charged, or not charged, but they were arrested. The FBI searched their home. They found some sticks of dynamite. And then for some reason, they got linked to this alleged plot to bomb a Fox News van, which this occurred, I think, the day after Tyler Robinson, the alleged Kirk assassin, was arrested. A lot of the media was gathered outside of Tyler Robinson's family's home, and they had to be evacuated because, you know, 50 miles away in Salt Lake City, some people found this bomb underneath a Fox News van. Mm-hmm. Everybody jumped to conclusions and blamed these Pakistani guys. But then about a month later, they were cleared. And another man named Christopher Proctor was arrested and charged with the actual bombing. And now the interesting thing here is that if we're going to draw links to the Kirk case, this guy actually is a self-professed left-wing anarchist. He was kind of known. He's a 45-year-old who was playing in like a little indie band in the Salt Lake area. He's actually been on a podcast. His band's called The Modifiers, if anybody wants to check it out for some reason. But in the podcast, he talks about his band is very political. We're woke. We're woke as F. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on your show. He's also quoted saying there's got to be a revolution somewhere. They released text messages saying he's talking to someone else. Do you really want to do this with me? I am 100% serious and planning and doing recon stuff. And I definitely need help if you're willing. We don't know who this other person is. But again, this is a little bit of speculation, but it seems like he was a pretty radical left wing guy who saw the Kirk assassination, saw the media buzz that was creating, and he kind of wanted to add that to the chaos because he wants to see society collapse and there to be some sort of revolution. So he's, you know, facing charges now. And I guess, so the real story, the truth is actually more interesting than this initial, you know, alleged Pakistani plot, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not surprising. Again, our FBI DOJ jumping ahead of everything. It's not surprising at all. Ken, I want to thank you for jumping on the show with us today and helping us understand all of this because a lot's happening and you help keep us in the loop. Give him a follow on X. JD_cashless. Folks, give him a follow right now. Ken, thank you for jumping on. I want to also remind our audience that we have an incredible sale right now on the alexjonesstore.com. We're kicking off Black Friday and Cyber Monday right now. A little early, but that's the best part about all of this. We're passing on the savings to you. It's 25% off site-wide right now. So you get things like Methylated Red, what we just launched earlier in the month, or last month, I guess I should say. We launched it. It's now for sale over at the alexjonesstore.com. Head on over there.
what out there could have an effect like methylene blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it. So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. And it works with Methylene Blue. And it works without it. And unlike ultramethylene blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain other medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications, but still consult your physician. But when you take it with ultramethylene blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into methylene blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy three bottles, get 25% off. Buy two bottles, get 20% off. Buy one bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this. So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both the Methylene Blue Super Enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it, the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory, and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge, huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed: migraine prevention, cardiovascular health, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited that you're all joining us today. I'm even more excited for my guest, who we'll bring in just a moment. Roger Stone is going to join us in just a second. A lot happening all around the country. It is election day, and if you live in New York City, not a good day if you live in New York City. As many of you guys know, as a former New Yorker, I have left the city. I've left Long Island completely. It's just devastating to sit back and watch. New York has completely crumbled. And it's because, of course, of bad leadership, but also there's really no opposition. The New York Republican Party has sadly been a massive disappointment in the state of New York. And so here we are today, preparing for a potential communist jihad to take over as the mayor of New York City. Him and his wife made their way this morning to cast their votes. And it's just absolutely devastating to sit back and watch. And most importantly, there's really no other option here. Sadly, so many are leaning on Andrew Cuomo, which I never thought in a thousand years I'd actually have to say out loud. But we'll get those posts up in a little bit, because Elon Musk and both President Trump are telling voters that you have no other option. The Republican nominee is someone who does not have enough support to win. And they're saying that a vote for Curtis Leewald essentially is a vote for Zohran Mamdani. And so they're throwing everything behind Andrew Cuomo right now, who is an independent who lost the primary in New York just a few weeks prior. So a lot happening there. Zohran Mamdani, though, getting called out by President Trump, who apparently was going to just not even weigh in on this election. But then it got really, really serious. And so the president is now trying his very best to save his former home state and city, of course. But Zohran Mamdani in clip 21 is responding to the president, who has gone after him with several Truth Social posts. Take a listen.
Donald Trump is threatened by our campaign. He's threatened by it because, like his, we've diagnosed the crisis in working class New Yorkers' lives, the cost of living. But unlike him, we're actually going to deliver on that. And that is a contrast that he can't bear to see. Because while he is spending $300 million remodeling a White House ballroom, the same amount of money that could provide SNAP benefits for 100,000 New Yorkers, he's trying to make it harder for Americans across the country to actually afford groceries. And this money that we're talking about, it's money that New York City is owed. It's not Donald Trump's to decide which city or state will get what money. This is the money that New Yorkers are owed, and this is the money that we're going to fight for.
Okay, so
as you know, President Trump has threatened to pull federal funding if Zohran Mamdani is elected today, and that is what he's alluding to there. Joining me to discuss is Roger Stone. He is a political icon and obviously New York Times bestseller and so many other incredible things, and we're excited to have him on the program today to weigh in on so many important elections taking place all across the East Coast. So, Roger, thank you for jumping on with us. As a New Yorker, I'm not happy about this race. I don't want to be someone sitting here and saying I support Andrew Cuomo, but the reality is the numbers aren't siding with the Republican nominee, and this has a lot of people on edge right now, even President Trump saying, you might not like Cuomo, but he's all we have right now. I know that you think he's going to lose, but I wanted to hear your take on all of this, because it's been very interesting at the back and forth between a lot of people who aren't siding with Cuomo either.
First of all, I need to address the massive lie just told in that clip by Zohran Mamdani. Donald Trump is personally funding out of his own pocket the ballroom. So that's not money that would go to New York City, but he lies so easily. He's very skillful at it. Mm-hmm. Secondarily, I'm afraid that Donald Trump, who I love, and Elon Musk, who I revere, just delivered the death blow to Andrew Cuomo. 71% of New Yorkers would be less likely to vote for a candidate endorsed by Donald Trump. But let's focus, if we may, on Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo is a man who not that long ago said, if you believe in the right to bear arms, if you aren't opposed to abortion, there is no place for you in New York State. The policies of Andrew Cuomo and the policies of Zohran Mamdani are essentially identical. The only difference is Mamdani would execute them much, much quicker. Andrew Cuomo, in all honesty, should be in prison at this moment, not for grabbing women, but for the number of deaths in the nursing homes in which he inserted known COVID patients. So I think Andrew Cuomo hates Donald Trump, said yesterday that ICE agents would never be allowed to perform their deportation arrests and duties if he were mayor. He's out of gas. He's out of ideas. He's old and he's tired. He's running for this office because, well, he's got money left over from his campaign for governor. Remember, he had to resign ahead of impeachment, and there was nothing else to run for. If you're a Republican, I can't see how you in good conscience can vote for Andrew Cuomo. Once again, his policies are identical to Mamdani's. He would just enact them a little more slowly. As for Curtis Sliwa, he's doubling the Republican registration in the city, which I would remind you, based on the demographic changes to the city, the Republican Party is at 10%. 10%. I actually thought it was 13. I was wrong. I had to check. So Less than a quarter of the voters in New York City are Roman Catholics. This is a city that was once a majority Roman Catholic. The Hispanic population has risen to about a quarter of the vote. This is their whites are in a minority in the city at about 31%. This has to do a lot with the demographic changes. I think that the idea that Sliwa should have dropped out. Why? He won a Republican primary and he has a full slate of candidates running with him for the city council and for the civil court judgeships. The idea that votes are transferable. Meaning if Sliwa dropped out, all of his votes would go to Cuomo. Or if Cuomo dropped off, all of his votes would go to Sliwa. That is untrue. Republicans despise Andrew Cuomo with very good reason. He was a terrible governor. He's a terrible candidate, and he would be a terrible mayor.
Yeah, and Roger, I was actually just going to pull up a clip. I totally missed putting it on the show for today. I'll hopefully get that into us, though, in a little bit. But there's a Republican member of the city council who stood by Andrew Cuomo and endorsed Cuomo, and not because she agrees with him, but just simply saying that she just thinks that Cuomo is someone who could give them a seat at the table and possibly discuss all these issues with him. But, you know, I followed, that was my beat back in the day. I mean, I literally focused on Andrew Cuomo and all the horrible things he was doing in New York State. He doesn't care for Republicans. He doesn't give them a seat at the table. You know, he was someone who was so hell-bent on passing criminal justice reform that he actually shoved it into the 2019 state budget and then forced those lawmakers to vote on it by also placing that their raises in it as well. And, you know, and most people know they're very well versed on the nursing home scandal that he was obviously the one who orchestrated that. But he also was behind the scenes doing a lot of pay-to-play schemes. There were so many of them that he was heavily involved in, and there were so many allegations being poured out there by the New York Post that did an incredible job on all of this. And there was zero criminal charges filed there. But also, more importantly, twice congressional committees have referred him for criminal referrals to the DOJ, and no one has ever filed charges against him officially. But many believe that he lied to Congress when he did testify about the nursing home scandal. So there's so many elements to all of this that need to be addressed. I just don't understand, and maybe you can give us some insight into this, Roger. How are these the three best candidates for this position to run? Because, by the way, also, I missed this part, too. We played Steven Crowder, had some undercover footage of one of Zohran Mamdani's candidate, the canvassing director, who ultimately was out there saying that back in 2014, Zohran Mamdani was supposed to run for, or he was the plan that they were going to run him for the New York City mayor's office. But he wasn't even a U.S. citizen until 2018. So this has been well orchestrated. And both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, haven't been able to put up a candidate that could beat Zohran Mamdani with clear numbers.
Yeah, Andrew Cuomo is a straight-up gangster. Yeah. He's a thug. By the way, the fact that we have cashless bail, a no-cash bail system that's a revolving door for dangerous criminals, that is a law pushed and passed by Andrew Cuomo. Mm-hmm. The fact that Kathy Hochul, the worst governor in New York history, that was Andrew Cuomo's selection for lieutenant governor. He is responsible for the elevation of Kathy Hochul. So don't get any strange idea that Andrew Cuomo, who is rather charmless, and I think from an idea point of view, completely out of gas, is friendly to Donald Trump, who he's attacked repeatedly, or friendly to Republicans. I kind of believe in voting in the candidate that you believe in, that you share the values of, whether they're going to win or whether they're going to lose. I don't know why the president called on people to endorse or to vote for Mamdani or Elon Musk. I have to presume that they've gotten bad political advice, or perhaps someone around them cannot read a poll, because I don't think the endorsement is going to move any votes. If you love Donald Trump today, the odds are overwhelming that you're voting for Curtis Sliwa. It's also interesting to me, Brianna, I'm not sure if this, Andrew Cuomo's not capable of campaigning. He can't go out and actually meet people, because he's deathly afraid of that video that goes viral of someone saying, "Hey, you, my grandmother died in a nursing home because of you." He's deathly afraid of that moment. So like Joe Biden, he's campaigning from his basement.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen that time and time again, and it's been pretty frustrating to sit back and watch. I don't know where New York's going to go from here. You know, I loved my former beloved and home city and Long Island as well. It just, sadly, whatever happens in New York City leaks over to Long Island as well.
There is no, I think there is a silver lining here, and that is if Mamdani is elected mayor with a progressive majority on the city council, He defunds the police, as he promised to do. He raises taxes on white people, which he's promised to do. He tries to give away free everything. He nationalizes the grocery stores. New York will be a flaming wreck by the 26th election, which gives an excellent chance for Elise Stefanik, the likely Republican nominee for governor, to win the governorship, something that has not happened in decades in New York State. Today, she is only, according to the Emerson College poll, she's only trailing the horrific Kathy Hochul by 5 points. So I do think, very sadly, I feel badly for my friends who live in New York City. I do salute the friend that my good friend Frank Morano will win a city council seat on Staten Island, and he will be a thorn in Mamdani's side, constantly demanding the truth from the Ayatollah Mamdani. But I do think the governorship is very much within reach now, thanks to these events in New York City.
Yeah, well, we're going to be sitting back and watching, and we hope and pray that the best scenario plays out for New York. And I'm excited for the governor's race as well, because we finally, I think, have a legitimate shot at taking that back, and that would be amazing to see. I want to bring things to New Jersey, because obviously they're having governor's race themselves right now. Jack Chattarelli is someone who has risen in the pollings, the polling numbers that have come out, and it's been quite fascinating to sit back and watch. It seems like those in New Jersey are warming up to possibly having a governor that is a Republican. Do you think that's very likely to come about today?
I think it's very, very possible. I really think you have to look at several factors here. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump did not target New Jersey in the last presidential campaign. He really couldn't. On the basis of using his limited resources properly. But even without targeting, he only lost the state by 5 points. Now, in 2020, he putatively lost the state by 15 points. That shows that real grassroots volunteer operation, mostly spearheaded by my good friend Mike Crispy, was able to make it a close race with virtually no resources, or more precisely, resources that they raised themselves within the state. Chittarelli has run an excellent campaign. Once again, the Democrat nominee, Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill, she would fit better in Virginia than in New Jersey. She's from Morris County, a heavily Republican area of the state. She knows nothing whatsoever about state issues. She's a congresswoman. And it has shown in the debates. Essentially, her platform, if I may sum it up, is I hate Donald Trump, vote for me. Not very conducive in a state like New Jersey. And then there was the debate in which she was confronted with the fact that she had 3 separate stock trades that tripled her net worth, grabbing her a quick $7 million based solely on information she got as a member of the House Defense Appropriations Committee. Now, I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or not terribly political. You don't like crooks and you don't like corruption. And this was an epic example of corruption. When confronted about it, she said she couldn't remember whether she had made such a trade. I think if I made $7 million in one day, I'd probably remember it.
Yeah, you probably would remember. And I remember that interaction.
And Chittarelli is a former state legislator. Who knows the issues, whether it is property taxes, whether it is crime, whether it is the school funding system in the Garden State. He understands state issues. She's rather aloof, knows nothing about state issues. The real question here is, of course, one of voter integrity. The election board in Passaic County, the chairman of the election board in Passaic County just happens to wear a second hat. He's also the Passaic County Democrat chairman. He says we can't have cameras in the area where paper ballots, right mail-in ballots are counted, nor can we have sign-in sheets to tell us who is given access to that matter. Here's a message for the Passaic County Democrats. See you in court.
Yeah. Yeah, Roger, it's been interesting to sit back and to watch what's going on over there. And I remember vividly that those comments that she gave in regards to being grilled on that $7 million, and she pretended like she had no idea what was happening. You're spot on there. I wanted to get your take, too, before you go, about Virginia, because Virginia is also obviously another heated election. Abigail Spreadsburg is the Democrat nomination right now. And this has been very controversial. I know I was watching one of her campaign rallies, and she was going out there and telling folks that she will not work with President Trump, even when it comes to creating jobs for those who live in Virginia. And that seems to be what she's running on, and she's hoping that's a winning issue. Do you think that when Democrats like herself are running on just like kind of the stance that we're not going to create jobs if President Trump is involved at any point, do you think that's a winning issue for those in Virginia?
I don't. Once again, she kind of reminds me of Mikey Sherrill, aloof, arrogant, kind of an elitist. Secondarily, let's recall that the real issue here, which no one wants to talk about, is the fact that the Democrat candidate for attorney general was caught saying that he wants to shoot his Republican opponent in the head and kill his entire family. Mm-hmm. Now, you would think that such a candidate would be forced to drop out of the race. But Spanberger has refused to denounce him, as has all of the corrupt Democrats in the state of Virginia. And Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears has made, I think, a lot of hay on that issue. It's a issue of common decency. I mean, it's kind of like the insider trading issue in New Jersey. It's not a partisan issue. Whether you're a conservative or a liberal or non-political, no one likes corruption. Well, nobody likes violence in politics. And the arrogance of Spanberger, who just kind of stands there in the debate, refuses to denounce her running mate's call for violence, I think hurt her very badly. Now, these are both states, I have to point out, New Jersey and Virginia, where the demographic trend has been against us. But I do think victory is within grasp. I think New Jersey, I'm concerned about the vote counting in Newark and Camden and Essex County and Passaic. I hope they have attorneys standing by. New Jersey's famous for voter theft and voter fraud. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling that the momentum is with Jack Cittarelli, and I believe he is going to win. I also think Virginia is possible. Winsome Sears certainly within range, running against the former CIA operative Spanberger.
Yeah, well, we're sitting back and we're watching, and it's going to be an interesting night tonight when the votes start pouring in. So we're hoping for the best, but we're preparing for the worst, especially if we're talking about New York City. Roger Stone, I want to thank you for jumping on with us today to give us your insight on all of this. We greatly appreciate your time as always. If you haven't done so already, which I'm sure you probably have, but go over to X and give him a follow at Roger Stone Jr. There's a J in between there too. It looks like my eyesight's not going too well. Thank you, Roger, for jumping on with us today. We appreciate it.
Roger J. Stone Jr. God bless you. Many thanks, Brianna.
Thank you, Roger. We appreciate you. And yeah, I'm getting up there these days, so my eyes are not the way they used to be. So thank you, Roger. Folks, I wanted to bring your attention to something I just reached out to DHS about. It's in regards to Sarah Adams. She just posted what she's claiming to be an ISIS threat. And it's quite strange. So, and obviously, folks, if you're unfamiliar, we have her on this show quite often. Sarah Adams is a former CIA employee, but she's outlining that ISIS is threatening to unleash its jihadists onto New York City today. Now, the letter itself is quite strange, claiming, and they put this in bold, that we've learned our mistakes during the operations of Paris and Brussels, and we were able to introduce and deliver open source jihadist instructions to 109 Muslim brothers living in America who expressed desire to commit and enable today's jihad. So again, I don't know what they're specifically talking about here. I reached out to DHS to find out if this is authentic because it seems quite strange. But then again, nothing strange these days. Oh, it looks like, sorry about that. So it looks like it says that the date on top is, it happened earlier this year. And so this is an old ISIS style write up. So again, I'm looking to see if there's something going on here. It's quite strange. It's actually at the bottom. So this is the date is at the bottom of this. I've reached out, but this is why it's so interesting that this is happening right now, because there's bomb threats that are being made, in regards to, the polling sites. Now, we talked about New Jersey in just a few moments ago. We talked about New Jersey, but specifically, apparently this is also happening across elections across the country right now. Zohran Mahdani weighed in on all of this. Take a listen.
Incredibly concerning. And I think that it is an illustration of the attacks we're seeing on our democracy. Sometimes they're blatant and explicit in the manner of these bomb threats. And we have to understand this as part of the general approach the Trump administration has taken to trying to intimidate voters with baseless allegations of voter fraud as a means of trying to repress the voice of Americans across this country.
I don't know if he's going to get that question again today, but the general approach the Trump administration has taken to try and intimidate voters, unless we heard him incorrectly. Yeah. What in the world is he talking about?
He is serving up a Kamala-sized word salad, but he's using kale instead of romaine. It's just a slightly better finessed verbiage than we were given with her. This is emptiness. It means nothing. What he's doing is deflecting because he doesn't have an answer for this because he is not prepared if, God forbid, something like 9/11 happens again. Just think about that. Were you in New York on 9/11? Do you remember what happened to this city? Do you remember what happened to this country? Do you remember who was mayor and what was needed from that office? Could this person really provide that? I mean, it scares the hell out of me. I hope everyone has a plan with their kids if, God forbid, something happens.
Got it.
Just to keep in mind, again, I'm going to highlight the fact that a lot of this these bomb threats are usually foreign, obviously, but they do this intentionally to stop people from going out to vote. So we've got DHS, I guess we got a question out for DHS right now in regards to that tweet and that post. I just want to see if it's authentic. Obviously, they probably have had some time to vet this. But I think it's quite interesting when we sit back and watch all of this kind of unravel. Again, I don't want you guys to not go out and vote if you live in these cities and states that are having elections today. I just want you to be aware of what's happening and just, you know, pay attention to your surroundings. I think that's really, really important in situations like this, is to be alert. And so that's what I would tell you to do. I would tell you to still go out and vote. Don't allow this to deter you from going out to vote, but, you know, just make sure you do that. Okay, I want to turn to something else. Nancy Pelosi is very likely going to announce that she's not running for re-election. We're waiting for that. Sources close to Pelosi say that the 85-year-old woman, okay, this is why we need term limits so badly. Apparently, she's planning to retire next year from politics. Well, that's so nice of her. At 85, she's looking to step away from politics. According to many, of course, Pelosi is not doing too well. We've seen so many interviews of her where she is unable to speak. The dentures in her mouth look like and sound like they're falling out of her mouth these days. And let's be honest, folks, she is just done. She is done. I want to take a listen to clip 10, because in clip 10, she is saying that President Trump is the worst person ever, and she's just so unhinged. Take a listen.
He's just a vile creature. The worst thing on the face of the earth, but anyway.
You think he's the worst thing on the face of the earth?
I do, yeah. I do.
Why is that?
Because he's the president of the United States, and he does not honor the Constitution of the United States. In fact, he's turned the Supreme Court into a rogue court. He's abolished the House of Representatives. He's killed.
He's abolished the House of Representatives. Where the heck was I for that? Oh, Pelosi. Must have been happy hour somewhere where they taped that. But the reality of it is Nancy Pelosi is very unhinged, and she does not like the fact that Donald Trump is doing what he promised the American people he was going to do. And so Pelosi, unhinged, has to throw, I guess, just slanderous accusations against President Trump, because nothing else seems to land these days. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. We have our Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales going on right now. We thought we'd give you a head start on all of this. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. It is 25% off site-wide. Got so many incredible items over there. Methylene Red, we just added that to the team over at the site. So head on over there, get yourself some of that. Also pair it with the Methylene Blue as well. We appreciate it when you do. Of course, you're supporting us, but most importantly, you're helping your own personal health. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you do just that. If you haven't done so already either, go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us with whatever happens as well. So head on over to the App Store and do just that. All right, more to discuss in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today. So I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I've read online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. I mean, love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so, finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. American Journal. We're excited that you're here. I actually just got handed a piece of paper, and it's going to be a good one. Let me just read this to you guys in case you haven't done so already. When you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, we're doing our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales right now. It's 25% off site-wide. I told you that earlier in the show. But most importantly, there's something new there. Alex Jones's signature blades are in and will sell out fast. So if you want to head on over to the store right now and grab some of those. It is up officially on the alexjonesstore.com, of course. And when you become a VIP member for only $30 a month, you get $40 in store credit every month. And of course, it is the number one way to keep us up on air. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. That just coming into us. So we just got those Alex Jones signature blades in right now. And this makes a great, great holiday gift. Again, 25% off. You can't beat those deals. So head on over and make sure you grab yourself some of those before we sell out, of course. All right, we got a lot underway. We're going to have Matthew Marsden on in just a few moments, followed by Mark Mitchell. But most importantly, you know, I was on the phone, and me and Mel Kay, she filled in for me yesterday, and she was so incredible. I'm so thankful for her. We tend to, like, just call, and it's not normal girl chat. It's like an outline of where all the corruption and deep state operatives are working next and what they're trying to do. And so she called me, and she's, like, so enraged. And she's like, Brianna, did you read the AutoPen report that was dropped last week? And I said, well, it dropped on like a bunch of other days, like a bunch of other stuff dropped. I actually haven't had time to. It is literally sitting on my stack right now. And she goes, you got to look because someone's name pops up in it. And it's Steven Spielberg. His name is actually in there. Apparently he was orchestrating quite the interesting State of the Union address, for Joe Biden. Obviously, Joe Biden wasn't doing well, and they were holding on for any type of opportunity for him to pretend like he was mentally well, but he wasn't. And so that's what's being outlined there. I'm going to be bringing in Matt Marsden to discuss, because I think it's really interesting, really, really interesting, the fact that that took place and that happened. But most importantly, George Clooney is coming clean, and George Clooney is saying, it was a mistake to install Kamala Harris and force Joe Biden out. So we've got that clip for you. We'll play it for you. I think it's so fascinating because George Clooney, obviously someone who wasn't very transparent. He probably knew early on that Joe Biden's health was declining. And when he realized it was too obvious to keep covering for, he decided to put out that letter. That was the op-ed in the New York Times telling him to drop out. But again, you're going to hear George Clooney say it. Apparently he wanted a primary. So we'll see how that goes. Again, Kamala Harris still thinks she could win. It's so disgraceful. She still thinks that she could run for president in 2028. She's actually telling a lot of people close to her that she's kind of interested, kind of looking at it. She doesn't deny it when she's asked about it by reporters. So I don't know how to feel about that. It would be a clear win for whoever is the Republican nominee. I know a lot of people are leaning on J.D. Vance for that. But again, folks, I don't really know. I don't really know what direction to go in with that. But we got a lot to discuss with Matthew Marsden. Mark Mitchell joining us in the second half of the hour. He's got a lot of interesting polls, and not much on today's election. not much in today's election, but he's got a good one with 52% of voters believing that Joe Biden's aides should be criminally prosecuted for unauthorized actions during his administration. Again, that's all wrapped up into the AutoPen scandal. And I think that's quite fascinating when you look at the numbers. One would assume that the numbers are probably higher, but they're not. They're not. We're also going to talk about a new Israel poll that's going to be out. Actually, it was put out late last night by Rasmussen Reports. Does the nation of Israel have too much influence over U.S. policy or not enough influence over U.S. policy? And 45% said too much. Now, the age range there was 18 to 29. So that's very interesting how those numbers are kind of growing amongst young people. We look forward to having Mark Mitchell in the program, of course, to discuss just that. He'll be joining us in just a moment. So again, a lot happening, a lot that I'm trying to keep my eye on, of course. We've got a big one, too. We're working on a story for tomorrow. Brian Harrison, he's a Texas state representative. He's joining the show tomorrow to detail specifically about how the DMVs here in Texas are apparently giving illegal aliens registrations for their vehicles. Yeah, he uncovered just that. So he'll be joining us tomorrow as well. So a lot to dive into in the final hour of the American Journal. I'm excited that you're joining us, of course. So don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in just a moment.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
week. My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It feels like a Monday for me, of course, but it is Tuesday. As many of you guys know, we've been digging through the headlines, going through everything that's taking place. I even did some document diving. We have the criminal complaint from the ISIS, alleged ISIS terror plot, inspired terror plot. We have that. We've been digging into that with Ken Silva earlier in the show. I'm continuing to sift through this. I look forward to bringing you any updates as we do just that. But I wanted to shift gears over a little bit to the Hollywood elites because, folks, I mean, enough is enough. So many of them have tried their very best to interfere in our elections because they think they could lecture the rest of us, of course. And they're doing a lot to cover up things like Joe Biden's mental decline. My girl Mel Kay called me the other day. And again, I mean, I keep talking about this, but we don't have like normal girl conversations. It's like, yeah, you never guess this level of corruption that I've uncovered, the deep state operatives, the globalists. And then she goes into telling me everything that she's uncovered because she does a lot of document diving herself. And she's found in that Biden auto pen document dump that happened last week, she found a name that jumped out of the pages for her. Steven Spielberg. Yeah. So he was apparently one of the many names that dropped in that list of people involved, allegedly, and have some type of role and involvement in all of this. Again, they're just saying that Steven Spielberg, again, it's Monday for me mentally, Steven Spielberg was one of the Hollywood professionals who helped aid Joe Biden prior to his State of the Union address back in March of 2024. Jeffrey Katzberger is also another name that's dropped in this as well. But essentially, it's why would you need Steven Spielberg to help you prepare for the State of the Union? Well, of course, because Joe Biden was someone who had to be heavily medicated to be up there. He was gone, barely holding on, and then he gave you that speech. But why the heck would Steven Spielberg? You could hire any acting coach possible, but you go after this guy? Somehow he's helping out? I think it's a much bigger issue here. Joining me to discuss is Matthew Marsden. He is a legendary actor, of course, and it's an honor to have him back on this program. If you haven't done so already, you got to give him a follow on X. It's Matthew D. Marsden. Of course, give him a follow on X. He's also on YouTube as well. Same handle, same follow. Matthew, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you here. So listen, I saw that Steven Spielberg's name's popped up in this document dump that happened last week. And I thought it was quite strange, but somebody, given your background, how rare would it be for a high profile person like Steven Spielberg to, help out Joe Biden prior to the State of the Union?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show. And I would like to say this, the Democrats can call on the best people in the world to come in and produce their propaganda. And that's what they did with Steven Spielberg. He's probably, for me, the greatest living director. And this has been going on for quite some time. You know, the Democrats have been working behind the scenes with Hollywood for a very, very long time. So it's not a surprise for me that they called Spielberg in their time of need. And look, at the end of the day, he said yes. I think it's very important to reiterate this. And this is why they don't want conservatives in Hollywood at all, because we don't have that reach anymore. We don't have those credentials that can come in. And for the most part, Republicans don't come to conservative filmmakers, which is actually a really, really big mistake. I mean, even if you look at where Obama went after he left the White House, where did he go? He went to Netflix because he understands messaging. He understands that Hollywood is the greatest propaganda machine that the world has ever seen. And so, of course, if you're going to go to someone to kind of patch over those holes, and they were not so much holes as the Grand Canyon, they're going to go to the best guy at doing it. And even if you look back at some of the speeches that he's done, the lighting and the positioning of the camera and all this, I made this argument a few years ago when Trump was debating, and the way that the angles were positioned, the cameras were positioned on the debate, I can go very deep into this. For example, if you want a villain to come on the screen, what you do is you have the villain move in from right to left, because we read from left to right. So there are all these little nuances that filmmakers know that make people feel uncomfortable, or they make people look great. So if you look at Biden, they'll shoot him from low, pointing up, which gives him this more heroic stance. If you're looking at the debates, as I was saying, Trump was boxed in very tightly and it was shot slightly above. So you're looking down on him, which makes him look big, but big in the frame, but also small and less powerful by the camera angle. So they've been doing this for a very, very long time. It's just that we haven't had people that have really been cluing up to it. And it's taken Biden's decline it was so severe that it's taken something like that to expose it. So I'm absolutely not surprised in the slightest.
Well, that's the issue here too. And I love the angling on all of this. You know, I remember watching when he gave that demonic speech, and there was the backlighting, the red backlighting. It was very communist inspired, it felt like, and it felt very intentional. Although the Democrats on the mainstream media wouldn't acknowledge that, it felt very, very intentional that they were giving him this backdrop. And it just seems like it's theatrical. I mean, we saw the J6 committee too. This is another great angle on this too. The J6 committee bringing in, I believe it was an ABC producer to produce the J6 committee's public hearings, in which they lied to the American people. They showed things that they deemed as evidence that actually wasn't evidence that was ever able to be brought into a courtroom. But they did that to go after these defendants and to taint the jury pool, even in fact showing what they claimed was a gun, a firearm, a rifle, when in fact it was not an actual gun. But this is what they did, and they were able to get away with this. But for some reason, there's only one side of the aisle doing these dramatic theatrics, not the other side. So it's extremely discouraging. But it also comes with a massive backing, those on the left. They do have a massive backing by those in Hollywood, like you've always detailed to us here on the show. But George Clooney is someone who comes to mind when I think about all of this, because George Clooney is a massive fundraiser for the Democratic Party. And I thought it was quite strange when Clooney came out and he had that New York Times article, the op-ed he released, actually, asking Joe to step back and to get out of the election. Now, according to him, we're going to play this clip for you in clip 22. He didn't want Kamala Harris to be the nominee. He, in fact, apparently, he says he wanted a primary to take place. Take a listen.
During the election, you threw yourself into politics with that guest essay, New York Times. Looking back, would you do that again?
Yes. We had a chance. I wanted there to be, as I wrote in the op-ed, a primary. Let's battle test this quickly and get it up and going. I think the mistake with it being Kamala is that she had to run against her own record. And it's very hard to do if the point of running is to say, I'm not that person. You know, it's hard to do. And so she was given a very tough task. I think it was a mistake, quite honestly. But we are where we are. We were going to lose more House seats, they say. So, you know, I don't know. To not do it would be to say, I'm not going to tell the truth.
Did you see Hunter Biden's reaction?
Yeah, I saw it.
What did you make of it?
Well, I could spend a lot of time debunking many of the things he said, because many of the things he said were just outright lies. You know, Obama didn't put me up to it. It wasn't my fundraiser. It was my fundraiser. All the things. But the reality is, I don't think looking backwards like that is helpful to anyone, particularly to him. I don't think it's helpful for the Democratic Party. And so I'm just going to wish him well on his ongoing recovery, and I hope he does well, and just leave it at that. I have many personal opinions about it, but I don't find it to be helpful to have a public spat with him. So,
all right, it's a little classy, not wanting to get into a public spat with Hunter Biden. But the reality of it is he refers to it as a mistake by installing Kamala Harris as the nominee. What do you make of that? Because she's still, to this day, when you ask her if she's going to run again, she won't deny it, and she gives you a little smirk as if she's got something up her sleeve. But this is a big donor for the Democratic Party.
Well, yeah, I mean, firstly, I appreciate the irony of what I'm about to say, which is who cares what an actor has to say about anything? Because, like, they're not necessarily experts in anything. But as you said, Brianna, not only is George Clooney and a lot of the Democrats that are in Hollywood massive donors, they have absolutely huge followings. And this is part of the issue that conservatives don't really understand. For example, if The Rock decides to run as a Democrat, we are in very, very deep trouble. And that is because if you are an actor that's been, let's say like Matthew McConaughey, who's been at the top of the game for 20 years, he has had billions, not hundreds of millions, billions of dollars put behind him in advertising. Every single year, Hollywood spends billions on advertising their movies. And what that does in turn is it grows their social media presence, which again, as you know, all politicians and all the politicos behind the scenes, they want name recognition. They want to be able to get up there and reach the general public without having to go and do a grassroots campaign. So if you have 100 million people follow you on Instagram, that's a huge deal. And you're seeing right now with Nicki Minaj coming out and saying something pro-Trump, they're all panicking because she has a massive social media following. She also has a lot of reach into the African-American community. So we can dismiss Hollywood like it doesn't matter. But the truth is, the great Andrew Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture. And these people, especially in Hollywood, not only are they massively wealthy, but they have absolutely huge amounts of influence on the media. And the Democrats have played this game for many, many years. And the first person to come along that understands it, because he was in it for 17 years as the number one show on television, is Donald J. Trump. And if you look at the difference between the old conservative, the old Republican rallies, the productions that they put on, they were stiff, they were boring. And now if you look at now, Trump is in there. He understands the media. He understands how to utilize it. So now it's a lot more energized. It's a lot more stylistic. Whereas before, Republicans wrongly, Brianna, wrongly would say, we have the best messaging. We have the best ideas, so therefore we will win. That's clearly not the case. Otherwise, AOC would be nowhere near Congress. So we have to understand now, and I think we have with Trump and the, you know, the messaging he's done, like, you know, J.D. Vance coming in and doing his Halloween costume. They understand a lot more the media, and the Democrats are panicking because it was their area of expertise for so long, and they're losing grip on it because now the whole world is fed up of the woke politics. So they're becoming less and less relevant, and Hollywood is becoming less and less relevant, but it does not mean that they don't have massive reach and influence. And so that's what we've seen with the George Clooney. I mean, George Clooney now has got to be in his 60s. Mm-hmm. He's still very, very powerful. And who is the biggest threat to them now? Sydney Sweeney.
Yes. Yes, she is. It's so funny to sit back and watch that too play out. They really don't like her. And she doesn't even say much. She doesn't even say much, which is probably ideal, but for most. But again, this is what they do. They don't like those who might have the slightest conservative values. They deem them as the enemy.
Yeah, I know all about that, don't I?
Case in point. Well, yeah, you do. And actually, this story just popped up. I didn't put on your radar before you came on, so we're kind of getting a fresh reaction from you. But one of your fellow Brits from across the pond just had some very good news. Tommy Robinson was just acquitted on all charges, and that was under the Terrorism Act. Now, it's so fascinating for us here in the United States to sit back and watch. You know, we talked about this previously. I had Ezra Levant on the program where he detailed specifically how that Terrorism Act was being utilized to go after Tommy because Tommy refused to hand over his phone when he was randomly stopped. So this judge just shocked the media outlets that were in the room when she said, or he said, you are acquitted. You are acquitted because you should have never been stopped. This was an unlawful stop. I wanted your reaction to this because they asked him during this unlawful stop to turn over his phone. He didn't. He refused to give him the code. And now a judge just sided with him.
Well, I've been trying to tell people. Oh, sorry. You're doing a... Is there a clip there?
No, it's not. This is all you. You go.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I've been trying to tell my my former countrymen, because now, as you know, I'm an American. I've been trying to tell them how they do not have true freedom. And I did not appreciate that until I came to the United States and educated myself on the Constitution and the Founding Fathers and why America is so great. And I think that over the last few years, certainly since Keir Starmer came in, which has been within a year, they've seen their freedoms erode by the minute. And so I think it's the same as over here, right? When we get a federal judge that actually sides with the law, we're gobsmacked, right? We're like, hang on a second, that this isn't the way it goes. Aren't you all, you know, Soros appointees or Soros funded? And I think that it's getting the same way over in the United Kingdom, because if you say anything about anything over there now that's against the government narrative, you will be prosecuted. And obviously what we're seeing is, as they say, two-tier Keir, where there appears to be a two-tier justice system. And this is a massive victory for Tommy Robinson. And I'd really, if people don't know who Tommy Robinson is, I would really love to recommend to your audience that they watch the Trigonometry podcast where they go through and they interview him. It's an excellent, excellent piece of material. And it gives you kind of the background of what he saw and where he came from. But this is a huge victory, especially off the back of a man being murdered in the street walking his dog by an Afghan last week. And then over the weekend, we had 10 people stabbed on a train going down to London, which is, it's unbelievable to me. I cannot believe that this is happening in the country that I was born and raised in. For us, certainly, and I come from, you could kind of argue I come from the wrong side of the tracks, Brianna. I come from a working class, what they call council estate, which is pretty much the projects. You never had stabbings. It was just absolutely not done. And this is a ideology and a culture that has been imported to the United Kingdom. And we must be very, very careful that the same doesn't happen here.
Yeah. And it's actively happening here as we watch what's going on in New York City. I mean, I keep saying it. I don't think enough people are paying attention to this. Zohran Mamdani's campaign admitted that he was the plot in 2014 to run for mayor. They were plotting back then. He wasn't even a U.S. citizen then. He was only given citizenship in 2018. And now he's running on this anti-capitalism, communist, jihadist movement right now. And it's absolutely devastating. But when you look at the roots, who his family is, and you go through the digging, you realize that they've been plotting to take down the United States for quite some time. New York City, obviously, the center of capitalism for the world. That's the reason why they went after the World Trade Center, of course. This is a massive, 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 massive loss for America if he's able to win today. All candidates involved, I don't have confidence in, but that is the one where I'm very strongly against. President Trump thankfully weighing in and saying he's a communist, although I don't think President Trump has much in the way of persuasion in New York City. They don't like him in New York City, so I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. But again, This is something that we need to keep our eye on. This is happening everywhere. It's going to happen in Georgia, too. It looks like in Atlanta they're about to run another woman with extreme ties to Islam to be mayor there, too. So, again, this is a big movement. No one's been paying attention to the Socialists of America movement that's been going on behind the scenes. It's been heavily happening in New York. It's been going on for many years. I've covered extensively. They are communists, and they are here to take over. Matt, I also want to talk a little bit about, I guess we could just talk a little bit about the Terrorism Act itself that you guys have in the UK. It's very much similar to the Patriot Act that we have here in the United States, where it infringes on people's basic rights, and it pretends to do so to keep us safer, to help prevent terrorism. But as you know, and you just outlined too, that stabbing where 10 people were stabbed, I'm shocked, Matt, because I don't understand why we don't know who the suspect is. We've seen footage. It appears to be a black man. I haven't heard much about his immigration status. I did see that this was a Brit. That was blasted everywhere. Don't know how true that is. But this is the problem in the UK. When it is someone who is not a native, who is not white, they do their very best to hide their face. They won't release it willingly. They won't release their information. They won't release their immigration status. It's up to journalists, and you're hoping that they're doing their diligence behind the scenes to figure out who these people are. But again, we don't know much about this guy. I was watching a video of him slugging what looked like to be alcohol before he went into a barbershop and threatened those individuals with a knife. But, like, what the heck is happening here where in the UK they do more to cover up for the suspects than actually helping the public understand where the threat actually is?
Yeah, well, it's suicidal empathy, isn't it, over there? It's a major problem. And unfortunately, because the media – and, look, we can talk about it here as well, right? Because the media has been complicit with big government in covering these things up, unfortunately, whether or not this person, I mean, we know now that he was a British national, or he's a British national, but of course people are going to jump to conclusions, because in the past there's been a delay in them releasing the details of the person. We've had it over here when there was a shooting at Fort Hood. We were like, okay, you're going to tell us the details, and they slow rolled it to come out. So people understandably are going to jump to conclusions, especially when an Afghan immigrant, illegal, stabbed a man while he was walking his dog. So it's normal that people are going to jump to certain conclusions. But part of that is because the journalists haven't done their job. But, like, we know how important it is for journalists to keep and hold the politicians accountable. And they haven't been doing that in the UK for a very, very long time. And these things have just been bubbling up underneath the surface for many, many, many years. I mean, it's that old thing in the UK, keep calm and carry on. People aren't calm anymore. People are sick, because they understand that they can't even now get on a train and go somewhere without the threat of being stabbed and killed. And again, isn't it interesting, Brianna, that whenever you bring something up like this to anyone over in the UK, the leftists already, they always turn around and they talk about banning guns over in the UK. And I'll turn around and say, well, how's that going for you? Because you can't have anything over a 3-inch blade in the United Kingdom. Yet the bad guys, as we say over here, the bad guys will still get access to guns. And the bad guys over there get access to larger than 3-inch blades. Yeah. So it doesn't work. It's the person that is the problem, not the actual tool that they use.
Yeah, yeah, and they always do that. I remember when they were arguing in the UK that you guys should have certain pointed knives, that we should get rid of the pointy side of the knives, I think was the argument, and should be more of a curve so that they can't go around stabbing people, because the knives stab people. It's not the actual people behind it, of course. They always do this, and I always say this. This is my analogy these days. I always say, well, listen, I'm not saying that everyone's a bad person, but when one out of five bad apples, one's poison out of the five that you have in front of you, are you going to go and eat any of those apples? No, of course you're not, because you're going to not want to take the gamble. And that's what's happening when it comes to mass migration. We have no idea who these people are. We have no idea where they're coming from. They are men of fighting age, and we've welcomed them into our countries. And the consequences are constantly being felt. I feel like in the UK specifically, every day we see a headline pop up. We're waiting to see when enough is enough. But we hope that the Brits continue to fight back. Matt, you're doing an incredible job at just speaking out on these issues. So we are appreciative of that. Head on over to YouTube. Give them a follow. Give them a follow on X as well. It's the same username, Matthew D. Marsden. Matthew, we appreciate your insight, of course. And we look forward to having you back on soon. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, we have our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide over at the alexjonesstore.com. So if you're someone who has not yet bought the brand new Methylene Red, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and grab yourself some. We just launched it last week. Also, we just announced on this show just a few moments ago, Alex Jones' signature blades are in and they will sell out fast. That is available right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. So head on over there, grab yourself some of these items because they're going to sell out quick. These are great gifts for Christmas over at the alexjonesstore.com. Mark Mitchell's next. Don't go anywhere.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
You're
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm excited that you're all joining us on this beautiful election day. If you live in states like New Jersey or Virginia, or you live in New York City, today is the day to go out and vote. I know, folks, we just brought to you recently the information regarding the ISIS letter that was put out. Again, I don't know how authentic that is. I reached out to DHS. It's circulating online, but most importantly, former CIA employee Sarah Adams posted it. And so that was the reason why we shared it. But it could just be something fake. It doesn't look real to me. I mean, why would ISIS put out a letter saying that they're going to have like 109, I think it said, jihadists ready to make a move in New York City? It could be foreign actors looking to make sure you don't go out and vote. Or it could be, which is strange, but it could be another country possibly truly against Madani. They want to remind voters in New York City why you shouldn't vote for him. He has been accused by several people of obviously being a jihadist and terrorist sympathizer. So that's one thing to look at and to keep in mind. Again, if you live in any of those areas, go out and vote. Don't let things like this deflect you from going out to vote. Just, you know, keep your eyes open. And again, I don't think this is real. I honestly don't even know what to think of it right now. My gut tells me probably not real, but I did reach out to DHS directly for comment on all of this. And when we find out if it's real or not, we will bring that to you, of course. I also want to bring your attention to an announcement that just came out of the White House moments ago. They just pushed out this email notification to us, and it states that the White House has lowered the North Lawn flag in honor of former Vice President Dick Cheney. So that flag has just been lowered over at the White House. You can see here in that image that that is the case. The White House just putting that announcement out as well. So we'll keep our eye on that. But a lot of interesting things are happening. I wanted to highlight that to you. We want to talk a little bit about polls because obviously today's election day, most importantly. But there was a really fascinating poll that dropped from Rasmussen Reports yesterday, and I really wanted you to pay attention to this. Take a look. As you can see here, 52% of voters believe that the Biden aides, so everyone who's worked behind the scenes, we like to call them deep state operatives, but that they should be facing criminal prosecution for unauthorized actions during his administration. That's AutoPen. Now, 55% of U.S. voters consider it likely that when Biden was president, members of the White House staff used that AutoPen to sign documents without Biden's knowledge or approval. I don't know. I don't know why it's so low. One would think that if you've been paying attention, you understand that they should all be prosecuted, and it should be closer to 100%. Joining me to discuss is Mr. Mark Mitchell. He's the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports and a good friend of this show. Mark, it's exciting to have you on today, so thank you for being here. I joke and say that the number should be closer to 100%, but the reality is I'm watching the mainstream media, and they're not even covering the AutoPen scandal. When we looked at Arctic Frost, I think it was like CBS, NBC News, and another outlet spent 0 seconds uncovering Arctic Frost. So it's no surprise to me that the number's only at 52%.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a super anti-establishment thing. I mean, the implications here are absolutely stunning, because if we go after any of these people, I think people will all of a sudden realize that there are major like constitutional implications here about what happened during the Biden administration. But the most important thing that I think about this question specifically about wanting to throw these people in jail, like, first off, only 32% of people say no. And this is a country that basically went half for Kamala Harris. And so a lot of Democrats are like, well, yeah, that's like messed up. Not all the Democrats, only 36% of them say that people should go to jail. But it tells you that they're not like completely ubiquitously ideologically pure on the left, like the mainstream media would have you believe. But the age signal is the most important one, in my opinion. 65 and olders, they say yes. Only 44 to 43, they're basically split. And obviously they're watching MSNBC, CNN, mm-hmm. even Fox News and Newsmax. And so I don't know if they're not covering that stuff, but it would appear to be so. The 18 to 29 year olds, the people who are also souring on Trump right now, I think this shows one of the reasons is because they haven't seen enough accountability and rapid change. 59% of the 18 to 29s say, yeah, these people should be prosecuted, and only 19% say no.
Interesting. So, Mark, I also wanted, since we're on the topic of age, I wanted to bring up this poll too. I know it's different, but this is important age-wise. You actually posted this last night on X. Does the nation of Israel have too much influence over U.S. policy, or not enough influence over U.S. policy? And this is the age range between 18 and 29, it looks like. 45% say too much, while 23% say not enough. I mean, that's massive because there's been a lot of issues with the older generations, I'd say, being well groomed by the mass media into siding with Israel. They don't really provide a rebuttal for that argument. So they've been kind of brainwashed into just accepting that Israel's our greatest ally. And I know with a lot of people that doesn't sit well, but it looks like the younger generation, people who are relying on digital ways of reaching their news outlets, they seem to think that they have too much pull on U.S. politics. Is that correct?
Yes, this is exactly the message that the Republican Party needs today, mm-hmm. is that political capital is running out for the Republicans. People gave Republicans a chance because of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's approval rating is lowest it's been this term right now, driven by independents and by young people who were the highest approving of Donald Trump back in February and now are the lowest approving. And so I think they want rapid change. Now, today's election day. I don't think any of the Republicans are going to win. Jack Cittarelli is the closest. But in my polling, if voters under 40 weren't voting in New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli would win hands down. And so that's a really weird situation because, I don't think the Republican Party has a message for these people. And if you look at, you know, maybe 20 years ago, if you look at the age spectrum, you'd see a huge difference between the 18-year-olds and the 65 and older on candidate support. But on something like Israel, you wouldn't see that much difference. You know, most people consume the same news. But now where we're at is there's not too much difference between the young people and the older people on Trump support as a candidate. But on Israel, it's night and day different. Only 21% of 18 to 29-year-olds pick Israel when given a choice between supporting Israel versus Palestine. With Palestine, it's in the 40s. But the 65 and older, 59% of them support Israel and much fewer support Palestine. So it's one of the biggest age signals that we have. And I think it's this idea that the 18 to 29s are inheriting a deeply broken society, and they're looking at politicians not from this lens of like party, but a lens of like, what are you doing for me? And are you looking out for my best interests? And I think as the Republican Party has shown us this week, not only does it not care about the government shutdown, not only is it really addressing what these Zoomers want and need, which is massive economic change, it's dallying with Israel right now and trying to out-purify, test itself into becoming like Make Israel Great Again movement. That's what it feels like boomer cons want right now. And I'm sorry, you're not going to reach the Zoomers. And these people are the future because the 65 and older are dying out. And once that happens, Israel will not have plurality support in this country. It had majority support. It was 59%. Just 2 years ago after October 7th, among all likely voters, it's down to 41% right now. It's only net plus 13. They're going to lose that in 5 or 10 years. The writing's on the wall. And yet the Republican Party seems to want to go down on this ship. And this is not an anti-Israel statement.
Yeah.
I think J.D. Vance like did a very good job of explaining like how we should perceive Israel as part of an America First movement. But unfortunately, that's not good enough for the purists in Washington, D.C., because just like with big business, I think that they don't have the voters' interests, in the front of their mind. I just don't think that that's what drives them on a daily basis.
Yeah, and Mark, I think Israel agrees with you on that front, too, when it comes to that they're losing that voter base. Ultimately that age range, because they're the ones who are now pouring millions of dollars into these social media influencer campaigns and so many other individuals too. So I think that they understand that. And it's not just Israel too. To play a devil's advocate, Qatar does that as well. And they have offered, I could speak to it too, they've offered me a trip through somebody else to come to Qatar and to see it for myself. Now again, there was no actual dollar amount involved in that. It was just come visit. It will be a free trip. But this is kind of what happens, and this is how they're winning people over. And it happens on both sides. It does happen on both sides.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see how they're all kind of hitting the panic button on that.
Well, that's why I think we need to be able to address these things independently and with nuance. And it's one of the reasons that we don't like do any of that. And people have to trust that I'm coming at this from an independent perspective. It's why we're also not hired by either political party. And I'm literally just looking out for the voters. And I've been told by people that they've been approached by both Qatar and Israel. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the influence, the problem is that there's so much misinformation online right now. And I've seen a lot of freaking logical fallacies just in the last week, more than I've ever seen before. And I can only assume that some of that is coming from these bots, because you're right. They did massively increase the Hezbollah budget. Like, it's a fact. But if you kind of go toe to toe, like looking at the Qatari influence, one of the things that people say is like, oh, look, they've spent $6 billion on our education system. And it's like, okay, that's true. but it's been spread out over decades, and 70% of that went to building educational institutions that were satellites, like in the Middle East, because they wanted American education. So it's not necessarily complete influence. And I worked with AI to try and figure this out, to really understand the level of influence. And it, yes, Qatar does buy people. Yes, they do have influence. Yes, they have like the influence over Al Jazeera. Nobody really watches it. But if you look, there's this aspect of Israel that has this complete like cultural immersion with the United States. It is night and day different, the extent to which there are a group of people that identify very strongly with Israel. There's a lot of interest in the politicians. You can see it, the Republican Jewish coalition, where you have people who want to be the future of the Republican Party getting up and saying proudly that they're Christian Zionists, when these same politicians would have run from the term Christian nationalist just 3 years ago. And so it kind of doesn't look that great. And again, I think it's like a race to the bottom to try and figure out who's going to be the most irrelevant person in the Republican Party, with this subtext that I think it's an attempt to try to wrestle control from J.D. Vance, who is by far the Republican primary favorite at this point in time. He's 5x higher than the next closest person. He beats Rubio 53-11. And so I thought the Republican Civil War was going to be about economic populism, because the Club for Growth people, the Charles Koch types, the Ken Griffin types, wouldn't really want to do the economic populist things that, because they've supported the Republican Party and are basically the primary interest. But it turns out, like, literally just one conversation between two humans online created this entire civil war over Israel in a way that, like, maybe they'll win, but they'll win with an irrelevant Republican Party, because the Zoomers don't want any, they don't want to put anybody first. They just don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mark, this is a little off topic, but I did a whole segment when we opened up the show about how I stand with Tucker Carlson. And it's not based on what he said specifically. It's based off the fact that I believe that he has a right to free speech and have anyone on his show who he wants to platform. And there were several people, including this one here, who then claimed, because I stand with Tucker Carlson's right to run his own operations based on however he wants to, this means that I stand with Sharia law, Maduro, Qatar, and Nazism. And as many people who probably have not watched this show could even assume, someone who dedicates about 3 hours a day to covering the dangers of Islam, I mean, this is just a joke, but this is how far people on both sides have become, where they can't even have a simple conversation about these issues, or they don't even welcome a conversation about these issues. They try their very best to silence Nick Fuentes, who I think they're only giving a bigger platform when they try their very best to go after him and to deplatform him. I mean, the guy's career has ballooned because they go after him all the time. And it's like, if you just stop talking about it, and that was your goal, to make sure that people didn't hear his message, you probably would help people not hear his message. But because, you know, you sit there and these people sit there, well, not you, Mark, personally, but other people sit there and they go after him all the time online, they have created the celebrity that Nick Fuentes has become. I mean, the guy's got over 1 million followers now on Twitter, and he has just completely skyrocketed. And you don't have to agree with what he says, but Nick Fuentes does, in my opinion, have a right to say what he feels and to say whatever he wants to say. And to sit here and say that Tucker, because Tucker gave him a platform, the two of them have gone after each other, to sit here and say that he doesn't have a right to go on Tucker's show because they're trying to make him mainstream is absurd. But also to think that you could cancel Tucker Carlson is also pretty stupid in itself, considering the fact that he's well off and he has his own platform. And I don't think he even relies much on advertisers. He might sprinkle a tweet with an advertiser, but he's not someone who is reliant on that. So I just think it's so funny that people keep having these conversations. But Mark, you didn't come here to talk about that. You came here also to talk about another thing that you posted yesterday on X. So I'll pivot back to that. You just recently released the approval ratings, I guess you could say, for Congress. And when it comes to that independent rating of Congress, that's independent voters, when it comes to their views on Congress, I believe this is, excellent is 3%. When it comes to independent voters, though, 65% view them as poor. I mean, that's pretty telling in itself. I mean, both sides need a positive number. And I know Trump also, too, to kind of add to this, he says that if the Republicans don't get rid of and terminate the filibuster, that they will lose in midterms, and they'll also lose in 2028 as well, the presidency. Just kind of break down this poll for us and what you're seeing here.
Yeah, I came on InfoWars and said to Alex Jones a long time ago that really the only path forward was to use the nuclear option and pass good laws. I laid out a plan for Republicans to follow. And now finally Donald Trump agrees with me. Mm-hmm. And what's sad is that I don't think they can do it. I think they literally don't have the votes because they only have like a 3-person lead in the Senate. What's kind of dark is that they probably need 60 votes in the Senate, not for the filibuster, but just to use the nuclear option, because so many people are corrupted by special interests and whatnot. And I think if they want this to happen, they're going to have to play Smash Mouth. But this is all kind of related, again, because the right is focused on this discussion. And I think it's important to go back to it a little bit and just remind ourselves, we kicked off 2025 with the left trying to convince America that Elon Musk was Adolf Hitler. And now the right is trying to convince America that Tucker Carlson is Hitler. Then I think it's important to note this is not about Nick Fuentes because, and again, Nick Fuentes' search volume is higher now than it was last week. So the Streisand effect is real, people. But they not only came after him, they came after Tucker Carlson. Again, just a human having another talk with another human. Mm-hmm. And they tried to frame it as First Amendment free speech, but in reality, what it has become is online bully tactics in order to, in my opinion, try to exert change in the leadership of the Republican Party. This is where they want it to go, and they're using leftist tactics to get there because now they're trying to brigade this guy at the head of the Heritage Foundation that's been moving the Republican main think tank towards MAGA. And that's like no bueno for them. They don't want that. And they're going after this guy for a 2-minute clip that he wrote. And it's because he didn't disavow somebody loud enough. And this is the left tactics they're doing. I've been called an anti-Semite because I didn't disavow Candace Owens, who I don't even watch. It's like, why is it my job to know everything that this human said? And so it's election day. And I think all the Republicans are going to lose. And it's because the Republicans have been telling themselves that because Donald Trump did better, the country is moving to the right. But the country isn't moving to the right. It took a swing on Donald Trump and the Republicans are failing them. And so let's acknowledge on election day, the government is shut down. Republicans are doing nothing. They're fighting, infighting about things that aren't the voters' primary interests. And there you have the ratings. Donald Trump's ratings at the lowest it's been so far this term because of independents. And independents hate Congress. So what's your plan to win in November of 2026 when America gave the Republican Party a chance because of Trump? And now everybody agrees that the Republican Congress is letting down America. Even Republicans' rating of Congress is freaking horrible. 13% say excellent, 19% say good. That's only 32% of Republicans saying that about their own freaking Congress. 41% say poor, 22% say fair. So that's 63%. And obviously Democrats hate Congress. And that's it. It's your Congress. You're doing nothing. Trump's railing on you. You're still doing nothing. You're focused on making speeches about trying to literally neutralize your own internal people in your movement at Republican Jewish coalitions. And all of the Zoomers are watching you going like, what the hell? I can't buy a house.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's so frustrating to echo that because their focus is all over the place, but it's not in the right places. And that's the problem that's so troubling here. Because I think more and more Americans, the younger they get too, they want that shot at the American dream that we were all kind of promised that we possibly would have a shot at. And it's kind of, you know, slipping away for most. To kind of end things here on a little bit of a positive note, you guys actually have a really sweeter poll, which gives me a little bit of hope these days. This one is about 70% of American adults say marriage is important in terms of their personal happiness. 70%, that's something we could all agree on. So I like those numbers. 70% seems good. Break down this poll as well.
I mean, this comes back to the Zoomers. I hate to say this. And the age signal was also like really bad there. Because it's like, would America be better if there were more traditional marriages? And when you're 18 to 29s are least likely to say yes, that's kind of a problem. It was only like lower 40s that said yes. And so the question is, who are these people and what do they care about? When we asked how important is it that the education system teaches Western values, they were also least likely to say yes. And so they're very, we're not talking about the teenagers. We're talking about like some of the millennials too, like people in their 30s, like mid 30s. These people are going to be leading things very soon. And that's exactly what the fourth turning tells us. And so you have this really weird situation where like basically boomers and zoomers are on complete opposite ends of things. Like what would be the best thing for zoomers right now is a catastrophic housing implosion. that would also be the worst thing for boomers right now. They'd be underwater in all their home equity lines of credit that they got back with 3% interest rates. And so that's the future. There's going to be a handoff. The boomers are not going to go down nicely. They're going to be swinging real hard. And we're seeing that today because Israel is an important boomer issue. And with fourth turning, new leadership, they're going to fix the situation. They're going to put new institutions. They're going to instill new values in society. And unfortunately, one of the most popular politicians right now among Gen Z is this Mamdani guy in New York, who's a Democrat socialist and is probably a Trojan horse for Islamic Sharia law. And they're like, okay, well, I tried Donald Trump and he's not fixing anything. And so I guess we'll go after Democrat socialism because the Republican Party doesn't have an answer for me. And they don't care about marriage. Like, that's not really in their picture. They're pretty okay. Just watching porn and stuff.
What a great way to end this interview, Mark.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, people call me a doomer, but it's like, I'm a lookout. I'm looking at the numbers and telling you that the writing is on the wall. These people are going to reform society and you're not going to be able to force your values down their throats. And right now I'm telling you, you're not going to like the society that people under 40 build. They take a lot of medication for mental health issues. They don't really care that much about the dating market, their traditional values. They're not really interested. The men are more than the women, but they're not really interested in procreating and creating large families. You know, Charlie Kirk was very right in this regard. And not only that, they're kind of like de-churching. Now, some of them are going back to traditional churches, but they're the people least likely to say that religion is important to their daily lives as well. And so again, screaming loud, railing against yesterday, like railing for yesterday's values is not the way. And these people are going to pick a path forward and they're not going to listen to you when you say you have to disavow Nick Fuentes. Again, bringing it back to him, Nick Fuentes didn't create this movement. Nick Fuentes cynically harnessed the idea that for the last 10 years, the backbone of Trump's movement has been young, angry men. Well, they're still out there and they're still angry and they're not getting what they want. And so they're going to look farther afield. And this is what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, we'll keep continuing to follow it, obviously, Mark. And you guys are the number of people, so we trust you in all of this. Mark Mitchell, thanks for jumping on with me today. Again, give him a follow on X. You're the only pollster I trust. And so that's Honest Pollster over on X. Give him a follow. Mark, thank you for being here. Folks, I know you promised this RFK Jr. soundbite before we concluded. So let's play a little bit of RFK Jr. because he has been talking about getting rid of mercury in our vaccines. Most importantly, now he's pushing it on a global level. Take a listen.
The Minamata Convention was born from a shared moral conviction that no human being should suffer from exposure to mercury. You came together to protect future generations from this potent neurotoxin, and I'm looking forward to continued progress. Article 4 of the convention calls on parties to cut mercury use by phasing out listed mercury-added products. But in 2010, as the treaty took shape, negotiators made a major exception. Thimerosal-containing vaccines were carved out of the regulation. The same treaty that began to phase out mercury in lamps and cosmetics chose to leave it in products injected into babies, pregnant women, and the most vulnerable among us. We have to ask why. Why do we hold a double standard for mercury? Why do we call it dangerous in batteries, in over-the-counter medications and makeup, but acceptable in vaccines and dental fillings? Thimerosal is a mercury-based preservative that has never undergone proper safety testing in humans. Hundreds of peer-reviewed studies identify it as a potent neurotoxin, a mutagen, a carcinogen, and an endocrine disruptor. Thimerosal's own label requires it to be treated as hazardous material and warns against ingestion. There is not a single study that proves it safe. That's why in July of this year, the United States closed the final chapter on the use of thimerosal as a vaccine preservative, something that should have happened years ago.
All right, I want to step in before we get cut off, but obviously he is now pushing for those on a global scale to pull these mercury toxic vaccines off the market and come up with a safer version. So we are on board for that, as obviously people who support the MAHA movement. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. We announced on this show, Alex Jones's signature blades are in stock and they will sell out fast. And it's 25% off site wide right now. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. The Alex Jones Show is next.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.